The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk off my lady hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job, it'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener.
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. Do you understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. Training camp is in full swing. Guys had the day off yesterday, but they were back on the field today at about 9:30, and they're still out there. So Andy, Paul, and Eric will be here momentarily as soon as they're done interviewing. Good practice today. Warm weather, but the players look good. Gronk's out there. Revis, Brady, all the guys are out there. One guy who was not out there that had been was Hooman. He pulled up lame on Sunday, some kind of leg injury, and so he was not on the field today. But other than that, pretty much the same attendance. Dobson still not practicing. Slater not practicing. But Gronk, like I said, Gronk is out there. Revis, Brady, and things are looking good. Amendola and Edelman, I would say, are the two top receivers emerging right now. Particularly Edelman had a really good day today. So all that news will be coming up today for the next 2 hours here in PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We already have several emails coming in. What just happened?
Just turn you up a little.
Oh, did they put in some new things
here?
You
got here? A brand new headphone amp.
Oh, new headphone amp. Great. Wow. That's cool. Kevin's in the booth, by the way. Let's see. Things that have happened since last Thursday of note. Up until that point, no pads, but this weekend pads came on and they've stayed on. They came on Sunday and they've stayed on for today. And, you know, when they go 11-11, 7-on-7, they're still not full speed tackling, but they are hitting harder. There have been a couple big hits. Brandon Browner had a big hit the other day. Today, Dante Hightower stood up Ridley. You know, again, both guys not going to the ground, but they're starting to bang it a little bit more. So that's good to see. Starting to do some tackling drills. You know, they had the one where the guys lie on their back, helmet to helmet. The coach blows the whistle, and they both have to get up, and, you know, one guy's on offense. He has to try to get by the defensive player. So those kinds of things you can do when you have the pads on. You can't do them when you don't. And guys are starting to get into game shape a little bit more. A week from this coming Thursday is the first preseason game against Washington. So guys are getting geared up for that. The team will be leaving on Sunday for Richmond, Virginia, where the Redskins have their training camp. And so they'll be there with a joint practice on Monday and Tuesday, probably a walkthrough next Wednesday, and then, of course, the game on Thursday. So we'll have that all covered as well. So it's starting to happen here, folks. It's starting to happen. You know, long wait in the off season, but we're back into the routine. Things are looking good. In terms of the quarterbacks, If you saw Patriots Football Weekly, you know what we think. The backup is still Ryan Mallett, and it's not even close. Jimmy Garoppolo, although, you know, the technique that we saw in the spring is there, mentally, he has miles and miles to go before he even catches up to Mallett, who, by the way, looks pretty good out there. A lot of confidence, you know, starting to close the gap between, you know, what it takes to be a starting quarterback in the NFL and what he was before. He's starting to look a lot more comfortable out there, spending a lot of time talking with Brady, joking with Brady, and that's a good sign for Mallett. You know, he feels like he belongs here. And, you know, whether his career is with the Patriots or somewhere else, that's a good sign for him. Technique-wise, he looks good. Doesn't look as indecisive as he has in the past. Accuracy seems fine. But we'll see when the preseason games come on. You know, we suspect that he'll get plenty of reps during those preseason games. And we'll see, you know, how he's progressed. I thought last year he looked better than the year before in preseason. We'll see if he makes yet another jump. But certainly right now in camp, he is definitely the backup. There's not even a competition at this point, I don't think. That said, I think it points to the Patriots keeping three quarterbacks, because you don't bring Garoppolo on in the second round in the draft and cut him. And I don't think they can hide him on the practice squad. I think another team would probably snatch him up. So if you want to keep Garoppolo and have a backup that can win you a game if you have to, I think you're going to need three quarterbacks on this team this year. So we'll see how that pans out. Defensively, Mayo, center of the defense, Bill Belichick talked about it last week, how everything revolves around him. There's no doubt about that. He's been out there all the time, showing no ill effects from last year's IR. Dante Hightower looks very active out there. You know, looking good, playing on the outside mostly. Mayo playing on the inside middle linebacker spot. A lot of people were wondering how that would work out this year. It looks like right now that Mayo will be the middle linebacker. But I have seen a rep or two where all of a sudden Hightower shifts in the middle and Mayo comes and, you know, walks up to the line. So I think that's going to be the key for the front seven on the defense this year. I think they're going to be very versatile, very multiple. You know, Ninkovich could be all over the place. Chandler Jones could be inside, outside. They've got some versatility there. What we haven't seen yet is Dominic Easley. He's been out, but just doing rehab. So, I very, very strongly doubt that he'll be available week one of the season. I just can't see it right now. He's just too far behind. You know, but when he does get out there finally, that will add to that versatility, because that's his game. His game is, he's fast. He can get in between those gaps. He can disrupt, and he can do it from different places on the line. So when Easley gets out there, it should add to that versatility. Wilfork's been out there. Tommy Kelly is out there, but he's wearing a red shirt underneath his practice jersey, which, you know, tells the other players that, you know, you can't really hit this guy. He's going at half speed. So Kelly out there, but not really at 100%, which isn't that big a deal for Kelly. He's a veteran. I don't worry about him not being available. Secondary, again, we talked about Revis. Revis is, I'm telling you, folks, I thought this as a Jet, but it is impressive to see it every day in camp and practice now. He just has an ability to stick with a wide receiver that very few people on this planet have. There are other good cornerbacks in this league that are up there with him, but I really can't see anyone honestly saying that they're better than him at covering. It's just, I don't know how he does it. It's the swivel and the hips and the foot speed. And, you know, he's not a fast guy. He's not a big guy, but he just knows how to cover. His anticipation is impeccable. You know, his instincts are great, and he's better than Aqib Talib, no doubt, and he's going to make this defense better. Then it's just going to come down to health. Dennard was back out there today. Alfonso Dennard, he had been missing practice, but he was back in pads, not quite taking part in everything, but he's making that next step. So that's good. So you're going to have some really nice depth at cornerback this year. We'll see how the safety position rounds out. McCourty looks like a lock, and it looks like right now Harmon will be next to him, but we'll see. Things are still kind of playing itself out there. So good stuff so far at Patriots training camp. Again, you can call in 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Another interesting note today, while there was some special teams practice going on, Brady went off to the side to work with Gronkowski, you know, on some short patterns into the end zone, you know, inside the 10-yard line type of stuff. And Belichick asked Revis to go over there and work with them. And Revis wasn't really going hard, you know, covering Gronkowski. I'm not exactly sure why Revis was involved there, other than to maybe give Gronkowski some looks or, you know, maybe some advice. I'm not sure. But it was interesting for that period to see Brady, Gronkowski, and Revis all working together, which, you know, really represents how well this team is going to do this year. You know, think about it. Those three guys are, you know, if you had to rank them, are the top three most important guys to the success of this team this year. Without a doubt, you know, Brady and Gronkowski, what they do for the offense, and of course, Revis, what he can do, we hope, for the defense, how he will transform that defense. And it was just cool to see them, the three of them, working together. And then at some point, Robert Kraft walked over and was watching them. So, you know, right there, looking at three of the main guys in his team, a lot of money invested in those three guys. I'm sure all the you'll see a lot of those pictures today on Patriots.com and all the other media outlets that were there. That was a nice little picture to take. All right. Again, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. The phones are starting to pile up. So why don't we go to them while we wait for Paul, Andy, and Eric to get off the field and get back in here. Let's start with Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on for you?
How you doing?
I'm good, good. I have to finish talking about kind of the point that I made last time, because I think it got thrown off a little bit from what I originally meant to say. But I think the bigger concern for me is the tight end depth. I know that, like, I can say a couple years ago, once Gronkowski got hurt, or whatever, I felt like the team felt like they needed to load up with that position, with, you know, Fells, you know, with Winslow, Ballard. I felt like the team made sure that kind of if we had a drop-off like that, we wouldn't be in that same situation. And without this year, we left a lot of free agents out there. Owen Daniels, that means like the tight ends from the Texans, I felt like couldn't come and play. We let them go. We still didn't do anything with, what's his name, Keller. I feel like we didn't get one in the draft. And now they cut the other guy, I think I read that. So mm-hmm. Now we have
Byam. Yep.
Yeah, Gronkowski back to who, man?
Yep.
And I would feel like if I'm in an offense, and they've designed a lot of stuff for Gronkowski, I imagine, with tight ends being so much of a key factor, I don't see how we're doing, okay, if he gets hurt, then you go back to what you did last year when you can't throw a tight end a ball. And you have this stretch, a period, where now you're focusing on these on wide receivers, and you're trying to get these three wide receiver sets that they're set up right now. And to be honest, I don't feel like all our wide receivers are so mediocre.
Yeah, well, so. I mean, I think you have a right to be worried about that tight end depth. Who man is off the field? He's hurt, so you're down even him. Keller's still out there. He's still available. We heard that the Patriots were very, very interested in him, and I don't know what if they're thinking of signing him, what the delay is. You would think you'd want the guy in here in camp learning as much as he can, but they haven't done anything with him. So I don't know if they're going to stick with what they've got. I agree with you. Past Gronkowski, there's not a lot of talent out there. There's not a lot of targets in the tight end position for Tom Brady. So I don't know. The only thing I could say that's encouraging is Belichick said, you know, he's liked what he's seen so far out of his wide receiving core. So, you know, take that, you know, what it's worth. There's no doubt that this team is no longer a tight end-based offense. That's gone. Forget about it. I mean, it is in terms of they have an all-world tight end in Gronkowski, But it's not that two tight end set, you know, multiple movement type thing, get the mismatch at the tight end position. I don't think teams have to worry about that this year other than Gronkowski. So it's going to be a different offense than we thought it was going to be when we had Gronk and Hernandez. It's just not, you know, they're taking pages out of the playbook in as far as I'm concerned.
And like I said, and that's fine. I'm not saying there has to be a two tight end set. I don't think we have to have that many, but I do want one.
Yeah.
I do want somebody out there that can.
Well, you got Gronk but after Gronk, I don't know what they're going to do. I think, like I said, I think you just basically take pages out of the playbook if Gronk's not there and you go to, you know, a different type of offense, which may involve more running backs in the passing game. So, you know, we've seen a lot of that so far in camp. So I'm sure Josh McDaniel, he's not a dummy. If we see it, he sees it. And, you know, we'll see. Maybe Keller does come on. You know, who knows? For all we know, you know, they've given him the playbook and he's learning as much as he can and, there's no rush to get him out there. I don't know. But right now, you're right, there isn't a lot of depth at tight end. There's no doubt.
Okay. I'll say one more quick thing, then I'll get off. But as far as, I know when they picked up LaFell, I was okay that they got him, but is he really that much better than what we have? We have a lot of mediocre there. I just wish, like I said, that mediocre, maybe that money we spent towards him could have been spent towards maybe just somebody else in that role.
Okay.
Since he really isn't doing all that well, but yeah. That's the only thing I was saying. I'll talk to you later, Fred.
All right. LaFell hasn't been doing terribly. I mean, he's made a really nice catch today, and then he had another play where he didn't do so well. He basically fell down on his route. But, you know, it was interesting that Brady mentioned LaFell by name yesterday. He was, I think it might have been Sunday, he was interviewed by SiriusXM right here at the stadium. And, you know, he mentioned he was talking about his wide receivers and said it was good to have LaFell in there into the mix, that he really brings something, you know, to the wide receiving core. So at least Brady is hopeful with LaFell. So we'll see. He does add some size. There's no doubt. He's a bigger guy than any of the others. So, you know, it just comes down to LaFell, I think, his consistency. And that was what we heard was the problem in Carolina is, you know, he would make a good play and then, you know, he'd get exposed a little bit. So, again, we'll see. Tompkins is the other guy, I think, that is probably battling with LaFell. Tompkins the same way. He's made some great plays and then, you know, he'll drop a ball. But, you know, that's probably life in the NFL for most wide receivers. It's the great ones, you know, that end up catching 100 balls, that, you know, have those sure hands that a quarterback can count on. And right now in this camp, you know, as I said earlier, Edelman has really been the number one target for Brady. And it's interesting, Revis has been covering him a lot, too. So that's been good to watch. But Edelman and Amendola are the two most reliable, sure-handed guys in camp. After that, it's a crapshoot. Everybody else is sort of, you know, fighting for jobs. And I would include Josh Boyce in there. I'd include LaFell, Tompkins. We haven't seen Dobson again. So, I'm sure he'll be in the mix. But right now, he's not even in pads with a red shirt. He's still on the sideline doing the Tour de France on the bikes. So Andy's here. Hey, Andy.
Hi, how are you, Fred?
Good. Just come off interviewing?
Yeah, I didn't actually get much because I was waiting for DJ Williams, and then I found out that the tight ends are signing today.
Oh.
So if you're by chance out here somewhere, Gronk signing if you want to run out.
Oh, okay.
Big cheer for Gronk as he goes around the...
Sure. Melvin was our first call, and he's very, very worried about the tight end depth, as he should be.
Yes, I am equally concerned. You know, I'm getting a little bit more intrigued with Justin Jones as this process goes. Not to be a factor, so to, you know, in September, but just as a developmental prospect, you know, I was talking to someone in the tent about, you know, the Julius Thomas takes 2 years and then all of a sudden, maybe Justin Jones can do that. The concern I'd have is that he missed last year in college. So then if you kind of miss another year, you know, how does that work in terms of your development? Is it hard? Because, you know, he'll be just running scout plays if he's around at all during the year. But yeah, there's no question. You know, somebody sent me, it looked like a blog entry. Somebody did a screen capture and tweeted it to me. you know, do you believe in this? And it was basically just raving about the position group. Patriots of it like another loaded tight end group. And I was,
what?
Yeah, I have no idea who wrote it or what they were watching. But to me, there's nothing there.
No.
After Gronk, there is nothing there.
We just talked about it, and Hooman's not even playing right
now. You know, I wanted to talk to DJ Williams because he has an interesting – I mean, the guy caught 150 passes at Arkansas and won the Mackey Award as the best tight end in college football, I believe the year after Aaron Hernandez won it, and went to the Packers, did – I think he has maybe 9 career catches. You know, at one time, he was sort of a prospect, and I just wonder – I haven't seen anything from him that leads me to believe he's going to help out. You know, Zach Sudfeld starring in Jets camp,
right.
But we know how that plays out sometimes.
Right.
So, yeah, I heard you raving about Amendola and Edelman. I think Edelman has been the star of camp so far. If I had to pick one guy, I think he's been phenomenal. I think Brandon Browner is going to see him in his nightmares at times, the quickness off the line that gives Browner trouble. But, yeah, it's Amendola, it's Edelman, it's Gronkowski when he gets back out there, and then
there's not much.
And then it's Josh McDaniels. Scheme it up.
Right.
Take this chicken bleep and make me some good old willow tree chicken salad.
Jamie's in Indy on the line. Hey, Jamie.
What's up, Fred? Andy?
Hey, Jamie. How are you?
Good. Not bad. I'm just calling in to talk a little bit about James White.
Yes.
You know, I'm a Purdue grad, so I go to every Purdue home game, and I go to every close Purdue road game, and I saw a lot of this guy.
And did he eat your guys up?
Oh, he was, I mean, he was just the bane of my existence for about 3 years. Even before, even when Monte Ball was balling out in Wisconsin. So, I was just wondering if you guys read the Yahoo article or saw Mike Reese's piece on him. And what you guys see in him so far in training camp?
I love him. I think he's been one of the nice surprises, young players. I'm already anointing him the top impact rookie because Easley's not out there. You know, I think there's probably going to be a slow development there for Easley. Stork hasn't really done much except take laps for screwing things up, and today he got a little banged up and didn't finish practice. I think James White is going to be your impact rookie. You know, there are jobs to be won in the backfield. I've seen him hit big plays so far on the ground. I've seen him hit big plays through the air. I've seen him take a pop and get up. I like pretty much everything I've seen from James White. I like he's returning kicks, so he's going to be in the mix on special teams. And, you know, a year ago, Shane Vereen missed 8 games. You had to kind of piece it together and Bolden and who. I think you now have another passing back that you can probably now there's still a ways to go, pass protection and all that, but I think you're going to like what you see from James White as a rookie.
So do you think that in the offseason – that Vereen's going to demand money that the Patriots are going to be willing to pay him, and James White's going to step in there and just take kind of like spell Vereen in next year?
Well, it'll depend on how Vereen's year goes. If he suddenly puts together a full 16-game season and catches, you know, 75 or 80 balls and has, you know, 6 rushing touchdowns, 5 receiving touchdowns, yeah, maybe he'll ask for money, but he's never done that yet. I think what you've done is just you've given yourself another option at that position because there are a lot of questions next year for the backfield. There are some this year. There are a lot next year. And, you know, even Tyler Gaffney was a very good player at Stanford. That's going to be a nice guy to redshirt and then bring into the mix next year when Ridley's probably going to be gone and Vereen could be gone. So, yeah, you know, I'm not ready to make any definitive Vereen's gone, Vereen's here, Vereen's going to ask for money. We just got to see what he can do this year. He might have the Edelman year. Maybe this is the year, and he hits free agency, and maybe somebody throws some money at him. But otherwise, you have an option this year and beyond in James White.
Thanks, Jamie and Indy. Let's go to Justin in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, guys. I know I'm going to take some heat for this, but I got 2 things that I kind of disagree with you guys on.
Are you still mad at us, first of all?
No, I'm not. No, this is, like, unrelated to that, man.
Okay, I just want to make sure we were cool.
I was only mad at Andy, but...
This is Andy. You're talking to me, so that would be you. You should have said, I'm mad at you.
Yeah. But one thing I kind of disagree with you guys on is, I don't know who exactly made the statement, but, like, the wide receiver thing that you said, if there was one guy you would cut, it'd be Brandon. Well, not Brandon, but Kimbrel Tompkins.
I've revised that since. That was me who said that, and I've made a revision. Tompkins has moved up.
Over who?
Boyce. I think Boyce has a lot of balls in the kicking game right now. If he's not a kick returner, if he doesn't show us pretty quickly he's a kick returner, I think he could be. He got banged up today, first of all. He limped off, didn't finish practice,
yeah.
Has had too many drops. And I don't see the elite speed. I see a guy that's made some plays down the field. He's not slow, but I haven't seen special in terms of big play and go get the ball in the air.
Not enough to cover up the other stuff.
Right, all the other stuff. So I think Tompkins has been better. I still have my doubts about Tompkins, what his ceiling is, but I think he is ahead of Boyce now, and Dobson is the wild card. If Dobson's on PUP, then they're both going to be here, and then we'll make a decision midway through the year, or that'll sort itself out. But I have moved Kenbrell Tompkins up my wide receiver depth chart.
But anyways, I would have said I would have sooner cut Josh Boyce, like you said, or I would have cut Brandon LaFell.
Well, they're not cutting LaFell because of the money. LaFell is here.
Well, wouldn't that be more money to save? And if he's a worse player than Tompkins, I'd just keep Tompkins.
You gave him $3 million. That makes him virtually uncuttable. I was talking to somebody who was telling me once you get above, you know, $250,000, $500,000, there are not a lot of people that get cut after signing that. You know, a lot of people think that's why Ryan Wendell is going to be here, because he got some guarantee. I think he got five or something like that, that he is going to be here. And, you know, you can eat some money as the cost of doing business, but I think they're not going to eat LaFell. He's going to be here.
All right, Justin, thanks for the call.
And by the way, he's returning kicks too with the second set of reps, which I have to look at his bio. I don't know if he's done. It kind of goes against what you think of him as, a big blocking receiver type. He's back there returning kicks.
Yeah, I mean, these guys need to show everything they can do, because it's a tight battle right now at wide receiver, other than the top two.
Well, because and it's not just jobs. It's also then, are you relevant? Are you active? Do you get chances? And I still think Tompkins is inconsistent.
Yeah.
I really do. I like today, he was running across the middle. Brady threw a laser. It bounced off his chest, and then he kind of caught it after that. I just think, as a fifth receiver, okay, maybe, but, you know, as a third, you know, if he's going to, you expect him to beat out, say, LaFell and be your third, or I don't see it.
Yeah. Trey is in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Man, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions, and also I want to make a statement. First of all, you know, I'm really optimistic, man, about our defense of this year. And I think last year, I mean, in the first 2 weeks, even though, you know, we didn't play against, you know, we didn't get the numbers was good. I mean, but, you know, we were looking good against, you know, just the first four or five weeks.
It was the best start the defense had in a few years.
Yeah, right.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you know, I mean, I just really feel like, you know, if we could just, you know, keep a lot of guys healthy, and I really think the sky's the limit, you know, for this defense.
Top five.
And I really think top five. I'm thinking top five, man.
Now, top five in points allowed, is that what we're using as the barometer?
Top five in points allowed. I'll say top. I give ourselves top five. Top 10 in passing and rushing. Yards allowed, I'm not too sure right now. I mean, what you guys think?
Well, the big thing is you got to improve on the third down stats. That's what you're looking for.
Right.
You're looking to get out of the lower 20s and sometimes 30s and get into the 15, 16 area at least on those third down stats. And that alone will be a huge improvement over last year.
And I agree with the sky's the limit. I think the ceiling is really high. I we always say, what's the floor? You know, what if Chandler, if Jamie Collins isn't ready, if Daron Harmon isn't ready, if, you know, what's the downside? Because you have proven talent. You know, you have Wilfork, you have Mayo, you have Ninkovich, you have Revis, I'll put in there, you have McCourty. You have a core of proven talent that I think is good. But where will you find out where does the greatness come from? And I think some of that is some of the question marks. And by the way, we have to give him credit. I know we sometimes mock, you know, Paul likes to say, you know, the first month against quarterbacks who were out of the league the next week. Well, you know what? We used to see them suck against bad quarterbacks.
Exactly.
So if we're going to mock them for sucking against bad quarterbacks, we need to at least give them credit for doing their job against bad quarterbacks.
Right. And if the barometer was, wow, they make these bad quarterbacks look good, they certainly did not do that last year. So that alone is an improvement.
Plus,
so,
it was September, and we know the idea is you get better, and especially Bill Belichick's teams and defenses, but we never got to see where that would have gone.
That's right. Chris is in Miami. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm calling here from Miami. Are you guys going to be down here when the game, on September 7th, I think?
I will be there.
Paul, I mean, Fred and Eric will be there. Paul and I will not. You'll miss the fun, guys.
Is any partying going on?
We'll see. I mean, you know, Barry and Siang will probably publicize what's going on. Usually in Miami, there's a lot happening. A lot of out-of-towners coming for the game. Plus, there's a lot of Patriots fans that are already down there. So I would imagine the night before the game, there will be something going on somewhere.
That's nice. All right, so I got some. I think our defense is going to do good. I think Darrell Revis is the number one corner in the league. That Richard Sherman, I mean, would Richard Sherman shut down Rob Gronkowski? I don't think so.
No, I think if there's a question, I think it's Peterson.
Well, Richard Sherman, we don't have to play unless we get to the Super Bowl. So,
right.
You know.
Well, first of all, I don't think the Seahawks are going to make it to the Super Bowl.
There's a good chance they won't. It's tough to repeat. Yeah, it's very tough. You've already seen signs with Lynch. You know, it's the year after the Super Bowl, guys' attitudes change.
And not just Lynch, though, the way Carroll handled it, and then you heard other people, teammates commenting on Carroll's comments. And
yeah, I was thinking, the first time getting to a Super Bowl, you look for talent. The second time, you look for the overall structure of the organization to repeat.
I mean, now all they want is money. Everybody's getting money. What's going to happen with the salary cap after?
Right. I mean, that's the whole thing. Jimmy Johnson penned a whole thing on, you know, what happens after a team wins a Super Bowl.
And so Bill Belichick.
And the challenges that go with it's true.
Remember the editorial he wrote for the New York Times?
It's true. All right, thanks, Chris. Paul's here. We'll let him get settled. He's got to sit down. While we do that, we'll go to Belarco. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, in L.A. Hey, Belarco.
Polo.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
What's up?
I'm doing good. Will you guys be down at San Diego for the Chargers game?
Undetermined. I'll be there. Eric will be there. Andy and Paul
may spend some time.
We'll be there during the week.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
I see.
Yep.
First of all, I want to congratulate the players, personnel, and scout team for being very diligent and getting Tyler Gaffney.
Yeah, I like that pickup a lot. Yeah, I really think that's a redshirt guy that could be in the backfield mix next year, you know, coming off an injury. And I know this is at least the third time that Bill Belichick broke the unwritten rules of the NFL and gets people pissy or whatever. But
And like you said, you're looking at contract year for
Vereen?
Ridley and Vereen.
Ridley.
And so there's a good chance they're going to need somebody.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's an intriguing guy to just, like they did, pluck. Wait and see what happens.
Yep.
Paul, who was the guy?
But they violated that unwritten rule.
Josh Barrett.
Josh Barrett. They violated that unwritten rule.
Yes.
You know? So.
How is being diligent?
It's not diligent.
I'm being fun. I'm making fun.
A guy got waived and they claimed him. Yeah. I mean, there's really no diligence involved. I mean, it's he was available. I mean, seriously, I think it's crap about the unwritten rules. There's 31 teams could have claimed him. And one did. I have no problem with what the Patriots did, but some teams, to me, there's only a handful of teams that can afford to waste a roster spot. The Patriots are one of them. They're a good team. They don't have to have 90 viable candidates for the 2014 roster, right? You can live with one and do exactly what Andy said. Redshirt year for the running back, but let's face it, everybody knew who this guy was. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been drafted, right?
I mean, he had like
Tyler Gaffney
yards
was a very productive running back at Stanford. It's not like we're the only ones that knew that he was a good player. We didn't draft him. Someone else did. He got hurt. Carolina obviously didn't have the luxury of waiting till the end of training camp or putting him on IR. They had to do it now, like we did with Greg Gordon. Only the difference in the caliber of player makes him attractive.
Also, Mike Reeves always writes in his articles that one possibility that the reason Patriots don't sign another tight end is because they still probably believe in DJ Williams. What do you guys have to say about that? And how's my boy Wilson Van Hooser doing?
Wilson Van Hooser may be my favorite player in camp. I'm rooting for him.
Thanks, Polarco.
And I'm being dead serious. He, you know, he's that guy, that scrappy little white guy who's athletic and make, you know, we had that drill where he was the only one who cut touchdowns out of 12 reps in the red zone. Every time I just see him trying, I see him catching the ball well. I'm intrigued by him as a practice squad type guy. Yeah.
He shows up.
Now, not for the roster. You know, don't let me overstate this. Practice squad is probably the ceiling for him.
And you talked earlier about DJ Williams.
Yeah. I mean, he's done nothing in the NFL. He was a Mackey Award winner. I'm not going to lie. I haven't really seen him do anything in training camp so far through 5 days, and I'll get more for you tomorrow when I talk to him.
Yeah, no, I thought he had a couple of moments on Sunday, Andy, your boy DJ Williams. I thought he made a nice catch down deep down the sideline on a play that showed his athleticism. I'm not going to just sit here and, you know, he lit it up, you know, for 5 days now. He hasn't. But I think he shows some athleticism. He, you know, the whole move tight end crap that, you know, has become sort of the phrase of the year. He looks like he can move around and catch passes a little bit. He caught a lot, as you pointed out, he caught a lot of passes at Arkansas. Maybe he could be that kind
and
of a guy.
None in Green Bay.
None.
And I just wonder, you know, that's a place where they do a good job developing pass catchers. That is sort of their forte.
And had a lot of injuries at the pass receiver position. Now, maybe not specifically tight end. We know Finley was hurt in the past. You know, that I don't know if he was hurt when DJ Williams was there, but you're right.
That's just a team that they've developed a lot of receivers, and they didn't develop him.
All right, let's go to Marcus in Virginia. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, Fred, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Hey, fellas, I just wanted to give you a call, and I think let you guys know about the training camp next week in D.C., well, actually in Richmond.
Did you win the lottery?
Yes, sir, I won the lottery.
Nice, we'll see you there.
I know, but I'm actually wondering if who called in that thinking that they might not win or was
Brad. Brad. He's on and, the top. And Fred top line, guaranteed yeah. that he would be there.
Oh, okay.
Right, okay, well, yeah.
I meant Marcus.
Probably right.
I meant Marcus would be there.
No, I think it was no, because it wasn't me. Because this is probably the first time I called in a while, so I think it was probably.
But you will be there.
Oh yeah, I will be there. Yeah, I got four tickets. But actually, if Brad's listening and he for some reason did not win the lottery, I have a ticket for the Tuesday practice at 1:35, and I have some extra. I have two
well,
extra.
Can Marcus, we conference him in?
Brad is on the other line, so if we can't conference him in, we'll see if he wants to take you up on your offer.
Can we watch Kevin's head explode?
No problem.
Try to talk, Brad.
Brad, are you there?
I'm here. And no, Fred, whatever you are, do not guarantee crappy, a Super Bowl victory for us.
Okay. All right. Well, hang up on Brad. I'll get to you in a second, Brad. Put him on hold. It doesn't sound good. But
I did. What, I did. Oh, okay. Did he say he won? Or?
No,
he didn't.
He did
we'll
not win,
we'll
so
out.
He may be interested.
We'll hook you up. We'll hook you guys up if you want.
That's
to.
Very nice of you, Marcus.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not a problem. I love you guys. I always listen. I don't call in too much because I really don't have that many questions. But
Stay on the line, Marcus.
Just talk about it and you know, do your thing.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Marcus.
Right.
Don't hang up.
Kevin's going to put you on hold. Can you do that, or do I have you did that? Okay. And now we're going to go to Brad from the Eastern Shore. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. Yeah, nice try there, Fred, but don't guarantee us a Super Bowl.
You got put on the waiting list, right? Did you not, or did you?
No, I got no email of any kind.
Well, when they asked you who you were rooting for and you said Patriots, that probably wasn't a good move.
Yeah, no, it didn't ask me for anything like that.
I got an email from somebody who said they got put on a waiting list where you show up, but they can't guarantee that you'll get in. Was that you?
Yeah. I'm gonna drive 4 hours to stand there and have them tell me no.
Well, we got tickets for you now. Marcus has got tickets for you.
Do you want to take Marcus up on his offer for Tuesday?
Yeah, I have to figure out. I mean, he's a long ways away from where I live, so I got to figure out how.
Oh, you meet him at the camp.
Meet him on the Central Shore.
Yeah. Fred will hold the tickets for you. He'll meet Marcus on.
I'm not there. I'm not going to be there.
Eric will hold the tickets for you.
Do you want to be there, Fred? You sound like you're sad that you're not going.
I got Marcus's email for him so they can connect.
Okay, we'll hook you up, and if you need somebody to hold the tickets, Kevin will take care
of
you.
Brad. See, I guarantee that you're going to be there, and you're going to be there.
On Tuesday.
Right? Hey, it doesn't matter how we win the Super Bowl as long as we win it.
That's right. Now you just got to get me on.
That I can't argue with.
You just got to get me there Monday too, Fred. That's all.
You want to go both days? Now you're being
greedy.
That's
my vacation. That's what we're doing for our vacation.
Do you have a hotel room?
Well, we were going to, yeah.
Oh.
Maybe Marcus can stay with your family. But, all right, Brad. I'll see you later. Thanks for the call, Brad. Paul?
Fred?
What were you doing out there? Anybody?
Well, just trying to talk to some players.
There?
Tommy Kelly back in full swing. Wonderful to be back out there.
Okay.
It's wonderful. Talked about not necessarily having any problems with competition. That's a way of life in the NFL, and he embraces that, and that's what he expects every camp. Not his first time down the dark, lonely road of rehab. He tore up his knee the first time in 07. So, you know, Tommy Kelly was Tommy Kelly. Good guy, you know, sort of likable, affable guy.
Yep.
Gronk spoke. Didn't hear it. He obviously had an enormous crowd around him, so I didn't hear a lot. He was asked about...
crowd.
He was asked about... I don't know if Andy went over this, but
no.
A little interesting when he did that side work with Revis.
Right.
Bill called Revis over.
Yep.
Did you spew your theory on that?
No, I said it was just interesting to see. I don't know why. Maybe Revis was giving him some tips.
I like that idea.
I don't
know. You know, Gronk is a big guy that will probably face more of that as it moves forward in creative defenses. And, you know, here's a cornerback. Tell me what you see. What can he do to beat you?
Right.
Good for both sides, too. And, you know.
And Revis goes, I ain't going to be here next year, so I ain't telling you.
Right. Well, I don't want to give away any secrets for the team I'm going to be playing for.
Right now, I'm a Patriot, Bill.
He didn't say that.
You know, he said right now. He didn't say for now.
Yeah, I don't want to get it. I don't want to get sidetracked, but. You know, I was
the
driving
semantic
in,
arguments
and I'm
of Andy
listening
Hart.
To the morning sports talk radio, and they're talking about next year. Why are we worried about next year with Darrell Revis?
I would agree with that.
Well,
why is
that a topic to be discussed?
Talk radio is always about stuff.
I know,
that's
but
not...
there's so much other things to talk about.
But to me, even if you wanted to say, like,
I could see
as
it
the
was
season,
November.
Season was unfolding, you know you're going to win 12 or 13 games. You're just sort of crossing off the dates until the playoffs start. But what about next year?
Right.
You know, that's the Boston sort of fatalistic look at it.
He hasn't even gotten the
but
field
we haven't
this
even
year.
Started yet.
Right. I am. That is like the least thing I'm worried about is what Darrell Revis is going to do in 2015. I want to know what he's going to do in 2014.
Exactly.
So anyway, Gronk just said it's good. You know, he didn't really answer it very much yet. Good to have another defender out there. You know, no, I mean, he didn't get into any specifics as to why.
And
so.
It's not like they were really going
no.
balls to
well,
the
that,
wall.
That, no, and
that's
kind of lent credence to
more to why
yeah,
he was there.
It's more of a technical.
And even, you know, he had basically two Hall of Fame eyes on him because Brady, after the first rep, then lined up at tight end and ran at Revis and gave him the little and showed Gronk exactly whatever he wanted there. So he had two pretty impressive, you know, passing game guys giving him advice. And he probably thinks, I'm Gronk.
Strippers writes in, do you agree with Bert Breer on the D size and speed? Bert tweeted out, Patriots look big and athletic everywhere on D. Been around the team for 10 years. Been a while since they physically looked like this.
I will 1,000% agree in terms of the speed. I think they've increased the team speed on defense immeasurably. I don't know how you feel
speed.
About it.
Not necessarily size, though. I mean, except for Browner.
Well, Browner,
well,
yeah,
Browner is so,
that's a big
is so imposing. But you know what's happening is people, I think, look at how big Browner is. And everybody, you know, the big corners of Browner and Revis. Revis isn't an overly
no,
big
no.
corner.
He's not big.
Revis is an average-sized corner who plays extremely big, to steal Andy's phrase. He plays extremely strong.
Right.
His press coverage is, he throws guys around.
But he's not tall.
But he's 5'11".
Right.
He's not a big, imposing 6'4 corner like Browner is.
Right.
So, Collins and Hightower.
Collins adds length, but Hightower's been here for 3 years.
Hightower is bulk.
Ninko's small,
and I mean,
I don't really think of them as overly
it's Browner.
Big in terms of size.
It's Browner. I mean, you're really kind of pinning it all on they have a big corner. They've never had a big corner or this big.
But
really, athletically,
talked about isn't the speed more important?
I think the athleticism and versatility are more. The wow factor. Now, part of that may be you have big guys that are also athletic, so it plays into Burt's thing, you know, with Jamie Collins and Hightower, wherever he ends up on sort of the athletic spectrum. Mayo, we still haven't even seen Easley, but he'll get into that mix. But
Easley's not overly big either, don't
think. No, but he's
more of an athlete.
But he's he's 280 pounds. He's a big guy who's athletic.
Right.
As a tackle, he's not that big, but as a human being and as an athlete, he's big.
True, like Chandler Jones.
Right. Did you notice today they did have the Will Smith
son of
getting
a,
jiggy
the
with
fourth.
It? No, they had Will Smith getting jiggy with it after Bill chewed his ass out. But they had Will Smith on the inside. They had Jones and Ninkovich and Chris Jones as maybe their pass rush foursome. I mean, you know, we're always talking about we're going to get that Giants NASCAR look going. Well, that's that formation is all four of those guys are pass rushers.
Brett writes
in. Did you see Mark Burley out there, Fred?
Mark Burley?
No.
Pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays.
I didn't either. Is that who that was?
Burley and DeMarlo Hale.
That group you saw. That group of guys. Yeah, okay. Mark Burley, DeMarlo Hale, and they didn't know who else.
I saw Charlie Weiss out there.
Charlie Weiss was out there.
Yeah.
Dan Copen.
Dan the man
Dan
Copen.
Dan Copen working for
Matt Magoo Chatham.
He sends his best. I said hello. Okay. And I was coming out.
Copen slimmed down, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Not as much as Jordan Gross, though.
Amazing how that happens.
Jordan Gross. Did you see Jordan Gross?
No.
Who's gone, like, off the deep end a little bit, I think. He's living in, like, an Airstream trailer by the Panthers thing. He's doing Panthers TV and radio. Airstream, you know, those silver trailers.
Yeah, those are nice.
Airstream.
And he goes back to that after practice and goes for walks in the woods with his dog, and he's lost, like, 100 pounds.
He sounds like our guy Josh Hull, who just got cut and we did the getting to know with. Because he was saying if he made the team, he was going to live at a campsite all season.
But Jordan Gross has, like...
lots of money.
$70 million over I mean, he's a first-round pick who was an all-pro type tackle, a couple contracts. And, oh, by the way, I didn't the rest of the story that he didn't really piece in, and I was reading, I think, Peter King, he has a wife and kids. Like, where are they? What are they doing? Why are you living in a trailer in the woods?
Brett wants to know, are the fantasy football guys going to be back this year? They will be, and they will start next week. Or, no, 2 weeks. When is it? First week of August.
They'll start at some
August
point.
5th. August 5th.
So they'll be back. Next week. Bill Enright and a new person, Andrew Grace.
Don't look at anybody.
Anthony Grace.
Close enough, Freddie. I'll give you that one.
So yes,
we'll
they
give
will
you
be
a
back.
Grace, period.
I know they help a lot of people win their fantasy league. So
is that true?
Yes. Eric's here.
Hi, Fred.
What's going on?
Got a good getting to know today. Jonas Gray. Notre Dame running back.
Honest. Did you ask him about his arms?
Soft J.
He's pretty big dude.
Oh,
yeah.
He's yoked up.
Oh yeah, he was really good. Guys
used to say he was really good.
He was
good.
Doing these exercises, you know, quick feet. You know, with
Paul goes.
His calves are just enormous.
Look at the size of his calves.
Oh, my God.
See if I said
he
that,
was really
he
good.
Make fun of me.
But yeah, I had to wait a little bit longer because he was the last player off the field today.
It's hard work. That's part of
he
the
was.
Story, right?
I think
there.
They know.
It was actually part of the getting to know. Like I asked him about. That was the first thing I asked him, and then we came back to it later on. When I asked him about the starstruck question, he tied it all together very nicely. And
did
I'll
he
let
play
you...
for Charlie?
He
something you
well,
might want to ask him.
Good to see your old college coach out here. I don't know. I don't know the answer. I'm
the
not...
last 3 years he's been gone.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
because he was at Florida.
He played
and
with
the last
Jimmy
2 years.
Clawson.
He's been at Kansas. Charlie
he
Weiss.
With, he was with the Chiefs for a year, wasn't he?
That's the last 4 years. Then he probably didn't play for him.
Yeah,
right. Because
he's been in the league since 2012. So. And he was a four-year letterman at Notre Dame.
So that's 2009, 10, 11, 12. So he probably
was. So he probably was, like, overlapping, yeah. Jimmy Clawson, that was Weiss, right?
Yep. Oh,
so yeah.
Clawson played for Charlie.
He mentioned Clawson, so.
In this episode of PFW, we'll debate something that he's easily figuring out on the internet.
But anyway, he was really good, so you can look forward to that in next week's PFW.
Is it better to do those, you know, getting to know in the locker room when you have other players around?
It depends.
Different.
It depends.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a different dynamic.
It can be more fun doing it that way, but it also can be harder to get them to do it.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It's a lot easier to get them here in camp.
All right.
But they're right. There's a better dynamic when there are teammates around messing around with
them.
Did
you tell them the last guy you talked to was cut?
No, why would I say that? Why would I do that to the poor guy?
Hull was out for about, what, a few hours before Josh Hull?
Yeah. That's okay.
Glad we got to know him early this morning before we cut him.
He's a guy that I wouldn't
be
surprised.
Don't fall in love. Get to know him, but don't fall in love.
He's a guy I wouldn't be surprised if he bounces back and forth.
He's probably fishing out back.
No, they
have. Well, yeah, he's got the little place over there.
They have a group of guys that are on the bubble, and then Bill says to, you know, his assistant, did they do a get to know on this guy? Yeah, right, he's the guy.
That's too bad.
Alex in Philly writes in, looks like the Jets are back to chest-beating loudmouths that they used to be. According to them, they are practically the best team in football. I can't wait to play them this year. Anyway, what are the chances that Patrick Chung becomes the starting safety opposite McCurdy? And how would you feel if that were to happen? I know I wouldn't feel good about it.
I don't really feel good about whoever is next to McCurdy.
34%. I might go a little higher. 37%.
Really? I mean, if it's him, if it's Wilson, even Harmon, I want to see more of Harmon before I'm excited that he's the guy next
to him. Oh, I'm not excited about that position at all.
I would feel the worst about Chung out of those three. And that might be not fair to Chung, but I've seen him.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen the other two. So at least I have hope that the other two can do something that I haven't seen Chung do. Now, they may be...
But Chung has started a lot of games.
Oh, I know. He has experience. And I feel like the
email that's why if Chung is a guy off the bench, I feel good about that.
I don't. I don't want him on defense. I don't have any problem with him on special teams. I think he's a good, scrappy player, good athleticism, moves well. Let him cover I have no problem with that. I don't want him in a substantial role on defense.
All right. Any early takeaways from the reps that Logan Ryan is getting in the slot and maybe the reps that Kyle Arrington is getting in the slot on the field that doesn't include the really good reps?
Today,
not too surprising. To
but in general, I didn't notice the latter part of that, but Ryan has been in the slot since day one and been getting high-level reps.
I think Ryan's having a good camp.
Yeah,
I don't know how you guys felt about it.
So
I feel like he's been pretty competitive in coverage throughout.
I thought so. I've been along those lines, when they split the field up and there was a group that can, 11-on-11s on both sides of the field.
Opportunity reps on the other side.
Opportunity reps on one side, more of the guys you see in games on the other side. Malcolm Butler.
See how hard it is to talk? You can't even speak English because of the way that they make you, opportunity reps and guys that you may see more often. You can't even just talk.
But anyway, Malcolm Butler.
Son of a.
Was on that side of the field with the typical game day group.
He's shown up.
He has shown up.
Yeah.
I think Malcolm Butler is one of those young defensive backs that sort of like Justin Green kind of came out of nowhere last year, made the practice squad, bounced back and forth. I think Malcolm Butler has a chance to to carve out some sort of role. I'm not saying as a starting player or anything or a contributor. I'm talking about a fringe guy that might make the practice squad or find his way on the roster at some point.
Did you guys already talk about the ins and outs from today?
No, we haven't. But
attendance-wise?
We'll do that. I did a little bit, but we'll talk about that after the break. Food's here. Kevin, who made food possible today?
Gary, I hope I pronounced the last name right. I'm going to go with Goss. It's G-O-S-S-E.
Oh, that's probably a good guess. Gary Goss, thank you very much, Gary.
Who screwed up the order?
Email us or call in if you want, and we'll get you right in there. But thank you for lunch. We're going to take a break because lunch is here. When we come back, we're here until 2 o'clock taking calls and emails here in PFW in Progress.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster piss?
I have not.
You don't know from soup, then, if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
is
soup.
Is it a soup?
Every once in a while, it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
You have a good lobster biscuit just...
Because is a stew a soup, or is it
no
a stew?
No soup. It's like sex for your throat.
Is a chowder a soup? Eric already has sex for his throat.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com. Ned in North Carolina writes in, I was selected to receive 4 tickets to Monday's practice in Richmond. If you guys want to arrange some type of ticket swap, I'd be happy to give my extra tickets to a well-deserving Patriots fan. And are you guys planning any type of get-together with fans on Sunday night? Paul's going to have people up to your room, right, at the hotel?
Yes, that's the plan right now.
Should we do BYOB? One of those tweet-ups that Peter King does?
We're going to tweet out Paul's room number.
Yes, only to the ladies.
No, in all seriousness, we could. I don't even like fans, but
you can
I mean,
a tweet-up.
We could do a tweet-up. Yeah. Eric will host it at the... what's that place everybody keeps telling us about, like some tobacco factory that's now a bar, a bunch of bars or something?
I don't know.
Do we know where we're going to be?
Richmond.
Yes, we do.
Like, within vicinity of walking to a bar?
No idea.
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far yet. I just found out yesterday.
because we could do something like that. Paul likes the public.
Well, as he throws his pizza box across the console.
I can call early and get some velvet ropes. Get me.
Take your pants off, get a few cocktails in you, like Paul likes to do.
Yeah, I've heard. I mean, didn't we have multiple people tell us about this tobacco something, something, something?
This is the first I'm hearing about this.
You don't listen.
Chris writes in, good morning, Chris from Alabama.
Screw you.
Roll Tide. I tried to tell y'all Tompkins was better than Boyce.
I'm still not sold on that. I'm just saying, as what I've seen, I've moved him up.
I completely agree with y'all that all the callers on the tight end situation, I reckon let's just be positive and say Gronk will play every game this season.
That's what I've been saying for months.
Also, didn't they have someone on defense lining up in the tight end position earlier in the camp? Wasn't it Browner? I can't remember. No.
Was not Browner.
No. Also, what are we going to do if every receiver gets hurt this season, like last season? Also, Gronk is out. What do we do then? Depend on Vereen? And what's up with Hooman? How did he get hurt? He can't catch anyway. What about DJ Williams? Is he doing anything? We talked a lot about all of this stuff already, so.
We did.
Patriots should hire me, for crying out loud. Pay me $50,000, and I'll go out and catch 100 balls and several touchdowns to help us win the Super Bowl.
Several.
Okay.
First of all, it would be illegal to pay you $50,000.
So Chris been drinking that moonshine down there. Mm.
That moonshine. You're going to pay off on your tees?
Yep.
Pay off on your tees?
Pay off on my tees?
You teased something, and
going
I
into the break, you said you would.
Oh, Eric had something to talk about, the ins and outs.
He doesn't know the radio biz like you and I
not,
do, Eric.
Apparently.
You used to be in radio. I'm in radio.
Hey, Kevin. When I press this button,
so yeah,
it still works even though
the light's not on. Right, yeah, mine is doing that too.
I just want to make sure I don't chew in my mic. Okay, go ahead.
You mentioned Hooman. He wasn't out there today. That was a notable absence. First time this camp, we haven't seen him. We also, I don't know if you mentioned Dan Connolly earlier or not.
He just stares at you. He doesn't even give you the courtesy of answering. I'm eating pizza. You take this.
Dan Connolly.
Did you talk about Stork?
Well, that's what I was getting to.
I don't know.
I'm asking them. I wasn't here much before you.
Well, that's true.
And I got here 15 minutes late, too. I don't know what Fred did for the first 15.
All right. Well, Dan Connolly and Hooman were the two most notable additions to the absentee list. And they weren't even out there at all doing any sort of rehab. They were just absent completely.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Well, they're in our mind. That's where we're talking about them. But Brian Stork, the rookie, early in practice, couldn't really see what happened to him, but he was in between the two fields getting trainer attention.
Upper body, lower body, any inclination?
I couldn't really tell. There was it being obscured. But that happened very early in practice, and then he, at some point, must have been taken off because I tried to find him later on, and there was no sign of him on the field. So in his place, Braxton Cave.
Captain!
Caveman!
Yeah.
Got a lot of reps at center.
Center.
And I had... don't think I've seen him play that position before.
Yeah, he's had some.
What,
yeah.
He had here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, he got a lot of it today as
we
a
were
result.
At, well, we had a count, I believe, of five people taking center snaps between spring and early in camp, and he was one of those five.
Okay.
But Fred's guy, interestingly, I thought, Marcus Cannon was the right guard
in place Connolly.
Of Connolly, mm-hmm. and not Josh Klein, who has been sort of the super sub and getting a lot of Connolly and Logan Mankins fill-in reps in various groups. Maybe he really is the super sub, but not really a starting option, although he did start last year.
Yeah, and he started well in that the game he played. I mean, didn't do anything, obviously.
He also is part of the jumbo package when he's the extra tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's... And Josh Klein's going to be on this team. I don't know what he's going to do, but it feels like he's going to be on this team.
Did you mention Alphonso Dennard?
I did mention him.
Okay, well, that's good. He was back.
Yep.
He's on the Gronk plan. Right. He's back for drills.
Right.
And he actually made one.
We qualified it.
He was one-on-one leaping, one-handed pass defense that he then got yelled at because he didn't use two hands. Bill yelled at him. Mm-hmm. But very athletic, running. But then when team and everything started, he was on the field with the rehab group doing, what did Matt Chatham call him? Metabolics or something.
It's funny because he goes, oh, those guys are doing metabolics. And then he goes on, well, what metabolics is? No one asked him what they were. It was like he was on TV.
maybe he had the IFB, and maybe somebody was talking to him.
But
the
it was like he was having a conversation with an imaginary audience. It was funny.
Paul is about to snarf. Here. The other thing I thought was very, for our purposes, was very interesting. in the special teams break when Brady comes to our end zone and has some private time with some of his receivers. He had one today.
Yeah.
And he had one defender. And guess who the one on each side of the ball was?
Well, they don't have to because I already talked about
okay. Thanks for
Before if you had talked about something, you just chewed your pizza and ignored him, basically.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't an in and out. That was a note. Practice note.
It was a practice
note. In Eric's defense, evidently you didn't talk about anything else, so.
So.
Anyway. I thought that was cool.
And plus I did too.
I wrote my commentary on the focus of Gronk and Revis and their importance to the team this year. And it was perfect that we had David Silverman getting some good photos.
Oh, did we get those?
Oh, yeah.
Because I wasn't sure if it was in a period where he's not allowed
it
to.
It happened.
I was going to actually ask fans to email us photos.
Well, that was the shot of the day.
It was the shot of the day.
And it was even more, we were calling it the money shot. But then when Robert Kraft walked over and chatted with Brady,
now it's really the money shot.
The owner, the franchise quarterback, the all-important tight end in the start. I mean, it was.
Exactly.
It was mercenary.
Hopefully we got that shot.
If a picture was worth $1 billion, that was the one.
Yeah.
It was almost like it was set up. Let's do this.
You are such a cynic.
We did get that series of shots.
Yeah. Good. Michael.
I also called it the All ACL team.
Yeah.
They're all not Robert. No, not when he got it.
Yeah.
The others were the ACL guys.
Mike in Rhode Island. I love this move that Belichick made to steal rookie sixth round running back Tyler Gaffney, a la Jake Ballard. It's such a Belichick move, and I think it could really help us in the long term as a kick returner. Also, Aaron Dobson had a permanent screw put in his foot this offseason. How much do you think this will affect him?
I think he's permanently screwed.
Oh! That's good.
Not bad.
I think he's starting to go down the road of permanently screwed. Literally.
Oh, he's way behind.
No, figuratively, I mean. Yeah. you know, at some point, PUP becomes an option. And certainly at some point, the year two jump becomes a year two.
Setback.
I hope he's a little better.
I'll take my shot to get him off PUP right now. I think he has a very good chance to open the season on PUP. That should mean that he'll be practicing tomorrow.
Mañana. He had his shirt off today.
And I was watching him when he was doing
something. You were excited?
I was watching him with his shirt off.
He was glistening in the warm New England sun.
He was over with Slater and the rest of the guys rehabbing. And there was at one point he ran for tried to catch a long pass. And it was just out of his reach. And he sort of pulled up.
That's how he got hurt the second time.
And he stayed, down, like leaning on his shorts. Now, I don't know if he was just tired or if...
He broke the screw?
You know, there was some pain there, and he was just frustrated because he's still feeling the pain. But it was a good, 15, 20 seconds, 30 seconds that he just stayed, like, hunched over before he finally got up.
Is he going down Rob Gronkowski Ave?
I don't know exactly what the deal
Price
is.
Way. We got Rob Gronkowski Ave now.
But I do think PUP is an option for him.
Well, no, because it's a physical thing.
It also allows you to sort of...
He was never hurt, right?
And we're going to wait, and that's going to cure. Oh, we can't wait. Now we're going to do this. And all of a sudden it snowballs, and it's like this major injury.
I'm not encouraged by the offseason, what we've seen so far in OTAs and spring and now early in camp.
Did you also happen to see, it was during special teams and during Revis, the all-ACL team with Gronk and Brady, Bill watching intently Matthew Slater doing his conditioning and rehab work with Moses Cabrera? I thought it was funny. You know, there's 82 guys on the field or whatever the number is who are actually doing football stuff, and he's as far away from about everything you can get watching Matthew Slater intently go through his running. That was very, the whole... Best thing about being a head coach is you can coach who you want to coach.
Even the rehabbing guys.
And he decided, I'm going to coach a rehab guy right now.
Hey,
why not?
Let's see. Greetings from Brno, Czech Republic. Eric, you should have passed through here on your way to Vienna. We're about 40 kilometers north on the way to Prague.
Did you check it out?
We stopped along the way, but it wasn't there. It was in a place called Telch, an old
So you went to Brno
town.
And it wasn't there?
No, we didn't go to Brno.
Oh.
We might have passed through it, I don't know, but we did stop in a place called Telch.
Telch.
Mm-hmm. Telch us about it.
I've been a long-time listener, really enjoy the show. You guys are what keep me connected to my favorite team, which keeps me sane living so far away from home. Have you had a chance to see Mike Reese's most recent roster projection?
No.
It's really difficult to see the team laid out on paper and not be excited. Before everyone starts focusing on health is going to be the main factor for player X, yes. And water is wet. Let's listen to Fred and assume everything will be fine for this exercise. Our roster is full of above-average players with some elite talent sprinkled in. The depth is what jumps out, especially at key positions like cornerback, receiver, O-line, D-line. Your fourth and fifth corners could be Kyle Arrington and Logan Ryan. When is the last time we felt good about our backups? With so many injuries last year, Broncos too, it's important to key in on this area, I think. We expect our rookies to no longer be rookies, and on the surface, it looks like all of our free agent additions look to be solid ones, no failed physicals. Curious to know your thoughts. Paul, throw water on it.
Well, I actually wanted to, but Paul can go first.
I'll let you go first.
I think it's ridiculous to include cornerback and wide receiver in the same discussion of depth.
See, now I no longer have to go, and I don't have to throw any water.
That's asininical, as we like to say on this show.
They have no depth at receiver.
Well, they do. Unfortunately, it's at the fifth receiver spot. They are all good fifth receivers.
Yeah.
They don't have one
depth.
To four.
Now, cornerback, I wholeheartedly agree.
I also
you
don't
have guys like Arrington and Logan
necessarily
Ryan.
Necessarily as this super deep position.
No.
Right?
There's a lot of guys that you know their name.
Right.
But how good are they?
Just because I know Joe Villano and he played some games last year, I personally think Joe Villano peaked and is kind of going to be one of those guys that just
Yeah, I mean, he's not even on the roster projection that Mike had.
No, but I know, but I'm just saying, like, and Will Smith. I don't know if Will Smith can still play.
You know, the free agent acquisition part of that, I'll throw water on because Andy, you know, already touched the wide receivers. I think Brandon LaFell has been very inconsistent.
You see when he fell down to that?
Twice.
And Brady got pissed?
Yeah, twice. And then he had a play in the end zone. He had a great catch over
Ebner
two Jags.
Somebody else. It was Ebner and Butler.
Yeah. And
I've been told ran a really slow 40 time.
And by the way, he was covered like a blanket on that play. It was a perfect throw from Brady.
No, it was just about as poorly as a safety could play it.
Yeah.
There is no way that ball, that should have been an easy play for number 43.
But he makes that nice catch. Then he has a back shoulder throw at the pylon in the end zone that his feet were crossed up. He had the play that you were talking about that he ended up slipping and falling. And he's had drops. He talked after practice today and he addressed the drops. He said, you know, I'm just dropping too many passes. Flat out said it.
Yeah,
so
isn't that like Stephen Ridley say I fumble?
No. Right. No, like, but what I'm saying, it's not like one or two people think that he's dropped a few passes and no one else sees it that way. He said that he's dropping passes. So clearly that's been an issue. So that's one free agent acquisition. Another free agent acquisition is Will Smith, who is kind of off with the aforementioned opportunity guys at times. He's not, I mean, before practice, the walkthrough with Brady and company was on one side. Will Smith was on the other side. So I'm not sure that he is a lock to make the roster, do you think?
No.
Who else? James Anderson is a free agent acquisition. It looks like he's got a backup role.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, he's as close to I've seen in a short period of time as a coverage linebacker. I'm buying it.
But
he can run with people.
You know, Patrick Chung, I think, is going to have his work cut out for him to find a role.
Yep. Why? Did this guy like free agents? What are we talking about?
He said the free agent acquisitions all look solid, and I don't know if maybe he was being sarcastic because he followed that up with none of them have failed the physical or something like that. They were all out there ready to play right away. Was the way I took it, but maybe he was being sarcastic with that.
Might have been playing with you.
You know that I don't always get the sarcasm.
Let's go to...
Wait, so your button doesn't light up anymore?
No.
It's going to make you even worse.
No, mine doesn't either.
Mine's not.
No, I know, but
he
keeps his mic off when he had a light that works. Now when he can't tell, we're screwed.
Let's
permanently?
Go to...
Raggy.
Permanently?
Let's go to
literally.
Antoine
literally.
No,
in Jersey City. Hey, Antoine.
Figuratively.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. Good.
What's up, Twan?
I really wanted to really speak on Rob Gronkowski, and I know everybody's happy about, you know, him returning back to the field, but I tore my ACL in high school.
Me too.
I play semi-pro football now, and I still get a little spooked about, you know, I play quarterback, so it's not like I'm a tight end or anything like that, but I still get spooked, you know, just getting on the field and, you know, making certain moves and stuff like that. Do you think in any regard that he would be limited like that in his mind psychologically?
There's no way to know.
There's going to be a hurdle. Everybody that's ever come back from it.
Unless you ask him straight out.
I will say,
he won't know either.
Based on talking to him, I would say yes. He's a little spooked about it. I think he's looking forward to taking some contact.
But we've seen guys that come back and say it's not a big deal. And then we've seen Welker, who over the top talked about getting over the hurdle and not liking the brace and blah, blah, blah. Like, he was really open about it. I don't know how open Gronk will be about it, but there's going to be an issue there, a mental hurdle and a time for him to get past it. It'll be interesting to see what he wears, first of all.
Right.
Right now he just has the like a semi-rigid. Well, it has some structure.
It's more than, yeah.
It's semi-rigid. It has, but it's not,
not
a,
the full Donjoy.
Not the full Donjoy. It'll be interesting to see if he wears that or something closer to that when he gets. I don't know why they're mocking me for like knowing the name of something they use. You know, it's like saying the Wilson football. God forbid you know what ball they use in the game. Sorry to have information. Let me ask you a random.
You get so mad.
You know.
Antoine, can I ask you a random question? How do you spell your name?
Sure. A-N-T-O-I-N-E.
Oh, the proper way. Well, I'm like always, remember we used to
as
do that
Walker.
Here because
we had like five
a,
different kinds.
Antoine the, Harris, right.
Antoine Harris, Antoine Womack, Antoine Smith. We had three different Antoines all spelled differently and none of them conventionally.
And it was while Walker was here for the Celtics, so we were adding that and all that. All right, back. Do you have your headphones on, funny? You look funny.
Really?
Yeah.
They're hot. I'm sweating under my headphones.
He's sweating because he's fat.
You have one more question?
Yes. I saw Mike Reese. He had wrote a.
Geez, everybody reads Mike Reese. How about somebody reads the PFW blog and says, "I saw on your blog."
Because they just assume that we're being negative.
Crying out loud! Every caller on this show has cited Mike Reese's blog. He's not the god of football. Read us.
Well, he works for us too.
That's true.
He reads us too.
Yeah, noted that Rob Gronkowski last year coming back into the regular season. He was on a limited snap count, so to speak, and was worked gradually into the system. Do you think it'll be the same thing as this year?
That'll depend on how the preseason plays out. My guess would be yes, but I mean we have a month plus now before the game and four exhibition games. Now he may not play a single snap in those. He may play some. He may play a lot with the starters. I mean we have a long time before I think that will be sort of hammered out onto what. Now another issue is a lot of guys might be on rep counts in Miami in September to open the season for your first game.
Tough place to open the season.
Yeah,
1 o'clock game.
I mean
too.
Vince Wilfork. My guess is Vince Wilfork might be on sort of a rotation in that game. Tommy Kelly.
They're going to be wearing
all these big fat guys in the heat coming off injuries.
Wearing those navy blue shirts.
Easily.
In the sun. Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be a game that you're going to see. They're going to. The full 45-man roster.
Maybe some O-line.
I thought they were sucking a little today. I thought there was a little bit of
fatigue.
Heat and fatigue. Yeah. And
that's stuff. Coming off a day off.
And not that hot.
And it was a nice day.
And it was pretty 70s? Comfortable conditions. Mm.
High 70s maybe in the
I thought Bill was on him a little today, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, one thing we don't see anymore, and maybe I don't stay to the end of the press. Do they do sprints anymore?
Yes, they did them on the hill today.
On the hill, okay.
The offensive lineman did
Thanks,
some.
Thanks, Antoine.
Yeah, they haven't done them every day, though,
as a
team.
Yeah.
Like, remember, there was
but
a
the whole defense went today
the whole defense
to the,
did that,
that
did
hill,
today,
they, that conditioning area they have now,
right.
Which I believe they've added to. It used to be just a hill. Now there's a flat and a hill.
Okay.
I think they added another platform to it. Or
it's no longer just a hill.
Well, no, because there's a flat
part. There's a flat part.
Right. There's a mesa.
Mesa Grande.
Brought to you by Don Joy.
Pawan writes in from Secaucus, New Jersey.
How do we spell that?
It's spelled P-A-V-A-N, but he says it's pronounced P-A-O-N-E.
P-A-O-N-E.
Pawan.
Pawan.
Payon.
Or Pawan.
You know what his sibling's Pawan? Name is? Patu.
Anyway, he's from Secaucus, and he says he came to Gillette last Sunday. I drive from New Jersey. I started at 5 a.m., just as you guys said, and reached the stadium at 9:10 just to see a lot of people already making their way to Gillette. It was disappointing, as Brady was limited that day and literally saw nothing from Gronk. And by 11 a.m., there was a huge rainfall, and the players departed for the fans, and the fan zone was closed.
That sucks.
I felt like I drove all the way for nothing.
Yep.
Anyways, I have a question for you guys. Can there be a starting lineup with three corners and a free safety? I know that nickel and dime packages have 5 and 6 DBs, but can there be a starting line up with 4 to 3
three corners and a safety?
4-3 defense and 3 corners and 1 safety. Sure.
Why not?
I think you can do whatever you
want. We've seen it before, actually.
And I mean, McCourty is an ex-corner, and you could call him a corner on any play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you can do whatever you want.
Logan Ryan, if he starts playing more, well, is he a corner or is he a safety? I mean,
we've seen it so often in the NFL that we've come to some people even refer to the slot corner as like the third or the 12th starting position on defense because it happens so frequently.
Because Mike Reese says you're in sub a lot.
Yes.
I was reading his blog.
Sub is the new base.
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
It's true.
It's true. Paul in Ontario writes, and I wanted to talk about Devon Wilson and the walking inactive that is Jake Beckett. I've heard reasonably positive things about them on your training camp podcast so far. What are you, and I'm wondering what your thoughts were. Is Wilson possibly in the mix for a starting job at safety?
Tavon to see what he can do.
Despite limited playing time and even more limited success on D so far. And as for Beckett, what is the reason why it hasn't worked out for him so far? He should be one of the guys that spells Jones and Ninko when they need rest so that they're not playing every single defensive snap. But he never even makes the active roster. What is the issue? And is it something that can be fixed so he can be a serviceable contributor to the pass rush?
It's a great question.
I don't have an answer.
I don't either. I mean, he's just the only thing I can say is he's not getting it done when he has the chance. I mean, I've seen him do it this
year. He's never played,
camp, but
so we can't really argue that he should be playing.
Preseason, he never
he doesn't stand out.
He never does. I don't know if it's a lack of quickness, hands, footwork, first
step. That's what I'm saying. If we had seen him play and we saw him get sort of manhandled, we could say, well, he's lacking this, or maybe he's not quick enough. We've never really
seen him play quick enough.
My guess is he's just not good enough. Yeah, whatever. If it's quick, whatever. You're probably, right, because he's got great size. So
he looks
probably
apart.
Quickness. You're
he
right.
He looks like he should be.
And, you know, even if, like, we knew that he was a good pass rusher in college.
He was productive.
And you could say, okay, well, you know, to make this team, you have to do more than that. But they haven't even tried him, like, in just that role. Like, you know.
But he never did anything in the preseason. The limited time we see him, he never does anything.
Well, he's a defensive end.
I know. But, like, even in those spot situations where, okay, we know they're going to rush the passer, they don't even, you know, let him do that.
Michael Buchanan got ahead of him last year.
Got that last year.
Andre Carter was ahead of him as soon as he arrived. He's just
– the fact that they signed Andre Carter was bad news.
And my point is, if the one thing that you're supposed to be able to do, you're not even doing that.
You're out of the league in year three as a third-round pick.
And I think Andy probably hit the nail with quickness because he, you know, looking back at Arkansas, maybe he was one of those guys with just, you know – the want to, you know, he's a high motor guy.
He was a good pass rusher. No. He was a productive.
He was a productive one. He might
just
not
like
have
Michael
been.
Sam was a productive pass rusher playing opposite Coney Ealy. And I mean, I didn't see enough of Jake Beckett to know how good he was in acquiring the sacks.
Did he take advantage of the situation or did he create?
Right. Did he
situation?
Have Dan Klecko sacks? Speaking of which, did you see the Dan Klecko jersey in the crowd?
Yeah, my guests noticed that.
I mean,
one of them
how could
laughing.
They not? Half the crowd was your guest. You actually, I wanted to thank you for putting us over the top
that
of the new
true.
Attendance
record. That is true. I did host seven people today.
Jesus. Yeah. This guy's got more guests than Johnny
he's
Carson.
He's got an entourage.
People are coming tomorrow.
Haynes in Houston.
Haynes?
Zuri Berry of Boston.com highlighted the first
everybody
5 days.
Everybody by Patriots.com. What?
Oh, that's the guy? Oh, I want no part
of
this.
Well, hold on. I haven't even finished the email. Zuri Berry of Boston.com highlighted the first 5 days of training camp on Monday and noted that the Patriots seem to have another good group of tight ends. Is there any basis for this optimism? Between Who Man, Giant Jones, DJ, and Watson Part 2, has anyone stood out?
No.
A good group
Jones
of tight ends?
Huge. So that's the one. Somebody had texted me like a screen capture and said, "Is this true?" And it was like a blowjob.
Unnecessary.
It was a very positive outlook on the tight end spot. And I said, "No. I mean, if you took the most positive look at it, it couldn't have been as positive as he wrote it." And as Eric points out, there were only 4 days of camp. That's why I did 4 for 4 on Patriots.com, not 5 for 5.
Well, the thing about the tight ends, you just can't get beyond Gronkowski. I mean, if he is healthy and part of the mix, then they're fine.
No, but
if he's not, don't tell me
but
that.
But he's talking about the group, right?
Exactly.
Like,
don't
right,
tell
five,
me. The,
right,
don't tell
right.
me the group is any good if Gronkowski
none of them have
is eliminated.
Done anything. I mean, you, DJ Williams caught a pass down the field. Okay, so you remember that.
But I would say Justin Jones has probably done more than even DJ Williams, and that's nothing.
Right.
Nothing. And Asa Watson has been a total non-factor. So, like, this good group of.
No. Where's the group?
No. You know, if you take Gronkowski away from that group, then you're severely lacking at the position.
Maybe I mean, everybody should read Mike Reese. See what happens? You read Boston.com and you get misinformation.
Well, we're talking about Josh Klein, super sub, is a tight end on jumbo packages, right?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to say that?
If we had...
We just did.
Well, you had mentioned it earlier, so I figured... it's out there. No, but if he's part of... He's like an extra tight end.
Oh, plus 11,000 fans saw it.
Yeah.
And probably tweeted about
James
it.
James Devlin is playing fullback and some tight end. If this
by the
group
way,
of tight ends was
in,
so good,
pass
they wouldn't have to do all of that.
He struggles in like inline blocking. He's very good as a fullback coming forward, kind of the anti-spikes. But when he just has to stand there and block somebody, he's not very good.
Wow.
Peyton Manning was dancing.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, Welker.
It's as awkward as you would
Welker
think it
looks
would
like
be.
He's in, like, Nashville.
Yeah, it's no worse than that.
Now look. They're showing, yeah.
No, but we make fun of Brady, too. Brady and we're equal opportunity
Carnival
rippers.
A few years ago.
I'd rather, if there were.
I think Brady looks better than Manning.
Oh, I don't.
Thing. Now, I think Manning is more funny because he's playing with his teammates.
I think Brady looks about as.
Well, neither one of them have much.
I know where Andy's rhythm? Going with this.
Yeah, I was trying to get him off the hook. Yeah. I was talking about rhythm, and Andy's talking about something else. Frisco. Mm-hmm.
No. See, but I wasn't, though. If you're talking about rhythm. Some just fell apart.
Speaking of Limp Bizkit.
I dropped the mic and walk out because it fell off.
Drew in Portland, Oregon writes in, I have been hearing a lot about Seattle's physicality on defense and its dominance in the NFL. Please don't get me wrong. I love seeing the speed and aggression they play with. My question is, how does an offense beat those hard-hitting defensive backs other than complaining to the league? Cough, Colts after the beatdown by the Patriots. I'm coughing myself hoarse. Are there plays in the Patriots playbook in recognition of a hard-hitting, strong safety where the O-lineman can release downfield to block and show that the offense can bring down the hammer too? All I can picture is a run play where Mankins drives Cam Chancellor into the ground, shortly followed by Sherman quiver-lipping his way through the next set of downs.
I don't really understand the question.
Yeah. I mean, look,
offensive linemen aren't taking too many shots at defensive backs.
No, I mean, they're going to miss them.
It's kind of a hard. I mean, Andy's right. On screens, you see them out in front, and generally the defensive backs do the, you know, they play it smart and they dive at the legs to try to create a pile to knock people over. But they're not going to take on a guard 10 yards downfield. They're going to get killed. So there's not really a whole lot of chances for offensive linemen to take on.
But there's
safety.
A million ways. I mean, that's what being an offensive coordinator, a play caller, play designer is all about: multi-level routes. Like trickery, you know, delayed plays, play action. And there's a variety of ways you take advantage of an aggressive physical defense.
A little trickeration. Can I ask you a really dumb question? Getting back to the ACLs.
Never stopped you before.
How bad did it, when it happened, how much did it hurt?
I don't know.
Because you often see guys walk off.
I did.
No, yeah. No.
Yeah,
but
it's true. I remember more than anything is burning.
When I ruptured my Achilles, when it actually happened, it was excruciating. I got up and walked around
single,
for 2 weeks.
I remember a single pain, and then I remember burning. Felt like literally,
yeah.
Even worse than a sunburn, like just pure heat inside the knee.
Yeah.
Like fire heat, warmth. Like if you somehow like put really hot Bengay inside the middle of your knee, yeah. Like what that?
Well, that's the blood rushing to the injury, right?
Oh, I have no idea. That's what I remember more than anything.
When you first said that, that's my first thought, which is probably all the blood.
But yeah, I walked off and whatever.
Right.
But it wasn't like this unbearable pain.
No.
Why?
No, I just was. I was curious when we were talking about the mental aspect in, you know, how a lot of athletes, they're not sure, and you know, if it's ever going to be the same, and what happens when they get hit again. Like, was the pain so bad that they just can't bear to have it happen again?
The pain is in the rehab. The rehab, I would say, is far more painful than the injury. Coming back, well, the scar tissue. Hey, my wife gets these magazines for, like, physical therapy, and they've invented but one of the keys is straightening your leg out again, getting it because it scars up, it tissues, whatever. And they now have these machines where they basically, they put a hydraulic point on top of your knee, and then there's a hydraulic point on the other end to hold, and it just cranks down on it, puts pressure till they get it back to, you're supposed to have more than 180. You're supposed to get to like 190 or something. And they do it the other way too. They got to bend it all the way. And they have you lay on your stomach. They put their shoulder in your like bent leg and just push as hard as they can. And things are popping and crackling. And the rehab is more painful than the pre.
Well, I mean, that's the only reason why I was asking.
Do you feel a looseness in the knee?
When you're hurt? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But not when, I mean, not if they repair
it. What about when you're rehabbing? Do you feel any looseness?
No, you feel a tightness because everything is scarred, is swollen, is.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I feel.
Yeah, but, because I was just wondering, like, if one of the psychological things a person has is, I don't feel stable. I feel a little unstable.
Right.
You know?
No, I never experienced that after. If anything, I had more tightness. Like it never felt kind of right again. I don't think I ever got straight again. I don't think my leg straightens out like my other one does.
This ping pong thing is pretty
amazing. It's unbelievable.
I'm fascinated.
But when the guy in the red had the guy in the green all the way back at the wall, Freddie, why didn't he just like tap
him? Drop shot? Yeah. I don't know. It's incredible.
This has literally been going on.
Oh.
That, did he just throw his paddle at somebody?
That had to go on for like a minute.
Yeah.
Well, 41 know. Shots, does it say?
When Nigeria and...
They throw away the records.
Yeah.
Wow. That was on Sports
41 shot ping pong.
I thought the Asians were the worldwide leaders in ping pong.
They have been, but you know, maybe the rest of the world's catching up.
Who was it in particular? Koreans?
Or
Japanese?
I don't know.
I think the Chinese were very good at
Chinese.
Too.
Yeah. Oh.
All right, go ahead.
Well, that's where ping pong came from, right?
Was he the cousin of that pilot on that airplane?
I think
Sum Ting Wong?
No, Wee Too Low.
Wee Too Low. Bang Clack Pop or something.
Jamie's in Houston. Hey, Jamie.
No, these are real. We're citing the news people who said this. We're not making these up.
They said those things on the air.
Hang on 1 second, Jamie. In San Francisco, when that plane crashed.
Somebody punked them.
Oh, in the
but they read it.
Yes,
they read it on the air.
Yeah. Sum Ting Wong.
Right.
Wee Too Low.
This is the name of the
people. I thought it was the name of the first one.
He did all those? It was like five. Oh, yeah. They read them all.
They read them all.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that, Jamie.
That's all right. You know, I got to finish off a thought.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting there. Before we know it, we'll have the Hall of Fame game and getting into it, and
that's with this week, right?
That's this weekend. Yes.
We're ready,
Monday, right?
Silent, yeah, right? There are no more weekends without football from now on.
That's outstanding.
Or yeah, the next five,
Freddie,
without football.
You guys have always been good in taking care of folks. You know, the claims, the medicinal purposes you guys have. You know, curing cancer, making cocks bigger. You know, helping people through things. You know, the show and the entertainment and the humor is always good. And my one-eyed pug Fritzy that you gave a shout out to some months before in the past, he passed away after being 14 years of a stalwart Patriots fan by my side on every Sunday and watching the games. It was his time this Saturday, and again, your show and your humor is very helpful to.
Will you replace him for the 2014 season?
We will not replace him. His bull has gone up on the Wall of Fame, and you know the Jamie from Houston, a Ring of Honor. His bull is up with a couple other keepsakes, and he won't be replaced. I have two other dogs now, so they're going to keep us busy.
That'll help. Yeah. You know, get through the tough period there.
Yeah, and he was a good fan. I would get excited, and then he would get excited right by me. So you'd hear me yelling, and you'd hear the one-eyed pug start barking.
One-eyed pug. I like how you say that. The one-eyed pug.
Yeah, I mean, he had one eye before.
I have a blind pug.
He got to have two eyes for about 13 years, and then it got bad, and we had to get him surgery, and so he ended up being the one-eyed pug. It's, you know. Got more of a ring to it, right, Andy?
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk some football too. How are the the Limp Along Gang doing? The ACL squad, the All ACL team. That's a pretty good one. I've just heard that just recently this week. That's good. How's Tommy Kelly looking? I'm hearing that he may be a surprise cut or a cap casualty. Does it look like he bounces back and has any interest in being a part of this season? What's prognosis on Kelly?
Well, he just got out there in full pads for the first time in pants and everything today. I've heard what you've heard. I've heard a lot of people speculating that Kelly could be a cut for this team. I don't know that I would feel great about that.
I would
that.
Not like that, I don't think.
You know, we haven't seen enough of him to see what he is physically coming off the ACL, but
sure.
The idea of Tommy Kelly and what I saw last preseason, I want that on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And until I see that he's not physically capable, I'm going to assume he's going to be on the team.
Yeah, I would fall a little bit differently, only with regard to Easley, and we haven't seen him yet. So for now, I would share Andy and Eric's point. But if Easley were projected to be ready to go at the start of the season, I wouldn't have any problem with it.
And what's Kelly's cap number this year? Is he in like a couple mil or so? Or
He
took a pay cut.
Lower. Yeah,
he took a shave, as they say.
Well, that's
six
good.
Figures now, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
And then you also mentioned James Devlin in the tight end role, and he he didn't, you know, he's starting to get a little bit of reps with that squad, but you mentioned he's a good downhill blocker, but standing up in that tight end role, not so much, Andy.
Yeah, I would say that's the weakness in that area. I actually thought in the spring, when it was essentially, you know, passing camps, he caught the ball well, ran routes well. But the more you see him trying to, even in one-on-one drills with the defensive ends or even in a couple drills, when he is just in that tight end spot, that wing spot, it's not the strength of his game. He likes to be moving downhill and pop with his neck roll right into Dante Hightower and the linebackers and those kind of guys. So
yeah, I you know, we saw flashes of him late in last year, and I like him. I mean, he is great in space. Him with the ball in space, I mean, he's been very good, and hopefully they can find some creative ways to give him some looks and some opportunities this season.
Oh, yeah. All right, thanks, Jamie, for the call.
He'll be in the mix if he's healthy. He'll be in the mix. He runs wheel routes. They had one today. He motioned out. He was out wide and, you know, different things. He'll be in the mix.
Tony writes in, aren't Rodney Harrison and Darrell Revis's comment last week on their first year back from ACL surgery relevant to Gronk? Gronk won't be back to being his old self until 2015.
True.
Yes, he'll be on the field, but just like Welker and Revis and Rodney, it'll take a year for the confidence and quickness to return to pre-injury levels.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's so much the confidence. I think it's just the quickness, everything that goes about it.
Yeah, and I agree with that, but the only thing that I would say, and this is on a positive side, is how did you feel like he was physically last year when he came back? I don't feel like he was himself, but he was dominant.
Right.
So I think he could still play an extremely high level.
Right.
Just like Welker wasn't as good as Welker was in
still
the previous
caught 90
years.
Passes,
he still caught like
80
something. I think it was 86 or something like that.
Right.
He was still a very, very good player, and I think Gronkowski is light years better talent-wise than Wes Welker.
And remember, I mean, part of Gronk's skill
remember,
is
there's a guy named Adrian Peterson who did it and was dominant.
Right.
So, yeah.
But also part, you're not taking away his long hands, his soft arms, any of that. When you talk about a cornerback, you're talking about
his long hands and soft arms.
Yeah. Soft hands and long arms. But when you talk about a cornerback, you're talking about lateral quickness, you know, turning, fluid. That's all knee.
Right.
When you're talking about Wes Welker as a slot receiver, you're talking about lateral quickness, movement, fluidity. That's all knee. Not as big a part of what Gronk does is based on his knee and
not
that
a shake and bake
movement.
Guy.
Right. So I'm not sure
what
the drop
does he call
off.
It? Dashing and
smashing and dashing.
Smashing and dashing.
Yeah. I like it.
Dan has some listener on listener hate.
A lot of that lately.
And it's for whoever it was that called last week saying we can't criticize GM Bill because we weren't complaining when they won championships. Nothing personal, and anyone is free to say the criticism was unfair at times, but can we please stop rewriting history? Did we just forget that not only did Bill not have exclusive GM control during that time, but most of his starting
during what time?
When they were winning championships?
Yeah, that's incorrect.
He's had exclusive GM control since the second he set
since
foot
February 3rd,
in Foxborough.
But most of his star contributors were established veterans on the team by the time he was head coach. As for drafting Brady, of course, nobody knows how players are going to pan out. Not only did they have no idea he was going to be TB12, but they were prepared for him not to be since they passed on him five times, and more than one Patriot said he never sees the field without the Bledsoe injury. Settle down, Paul. I'm not saying he was better. The championships were a tremendous coaching triumph, but GM Bill doesn't get the credit for those.
But he was the GM.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
But he was not the GM that brought in Ty Law,
Bruce
Lawyer
and
McGinnis.
No,
there was... To me, I think it's a fair point. Not a fair criticism, but a fair point to say a good part of the nucleus of the championship teams was here. Now,
but doesn't that happen
same,
a lot of places?
Absolutely. Those same guys were there for Pete Carroll. He didn't go anywhere.
No.
So that's why I said it's a point. It's not a criticism.
I mean, I think actually Pete Carroll and Schneider have really turned over the Seattle roster to make it championship.
I think literally one guy
went to Tampa Bay. You know?
Right.
That was Tony Dungy's team, but he couldn't get it there.
Right.
Epstein took over Duquette's talent.
Right.
Right.
Some.
I mean, there was core talent there.
Some.
Part of the core of that team was Manny Ramirez and Pedro Martinez. That is as big a core as you can have.
Well, and you can go further than that.
No, I know, but
Damon
I'm talking about
Derek Lowe, Jason Veritek
carrying you. So it happens almost everywhere. There are very few places where a guy really goes in, tears it all down, and starts from scratch and does his own team and all that.
Christopher in Hamilton, Ontario. I heard the heir apparent wide receiver Aaron Dobson is becoming the bionic man. Good God. Aaron Dobson has become the Rob Ford of the team. Both had a great resume before getting to the big stage, but really have found a way to have stuff happen to dash our dreams of a successful time in office. Here we go, another receiver that seems to not come close to the expectations we have for him. See Taylor Price, Brandon Tate as examples. Yes, I know that Price had issues getting up to speed, but frankly, if football is your job, you should be smart enough if you are drafted by the Patriots to get the system. Without Dobson, how's the wide receiver core going to look? 1 through 4.
Well, that's just flawed. Okay. Anybody who's hired for any job, okay, it was your job, so you should do a really great job at it. Right? I mean, politicians suck, cops mm-hmm. suck, doctors suck.
Right.
Any line of work you can suck at.
Bad hires are made.
Right.
The other thing is, well, I'm not completely convinced about just how good he is yet. Injury is the biggest problem.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, I'm not giving him a complete free pass because he's hurt, but can we wait till he's healthy and on the field and then not picking things up before we say that he's not able to pick things up and can't do it?
Right. Is that an issue?
That's what I'm saying. Can we wait till he's on the field and you're seeing that he can't do it?
Because I thought there were maybe little signs and hints that that was an issue for Boyce last year.
Absolutely.
Not really Dobson.
Matt writes in.
How would the top four look?
Without Dobson?
Without Dobson.
Edelman, Amendola, LaFell, Tompkins.
Ooh. Yeah.
In some order, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of depth there.
He's still mocking that other guy.
Matt in Connecticut, I went to the Patriots training camp on the third day to see the only live pro football team I'll see all season because no one in my family likes to go to games. When I was watching, I fell in love with Van Hoosa.
Me too.
The thing I saw from him was that he was unspectacular, awesome. But he was reliable. While other guys dropped passes, he got open and made some plays. He didn't have a Tompkins-esque sideline grab, but he got open and caught the ball. To me, that's all you can ask for from an undrafted rookie.
Good call, Bill.
What are your opinions on him, and does he have a shot at the practice squad injury replacement role like the Davis has had last year?
Yes, he has a shot at the practice squad. I said that to start the show. I, like you, have fallen in love with him.
And he shows up.
By the way, the name might have drawn me to him, too. Like, the name kind of makes you
Wilson Van Hooser.
Yeah, you're intrigued by it.
It's an interesting name.
You know, I thought it was unique until Matt Chatham told me, everybody where I'm from is a Van something.
That's because he...
We should do a getting to know before the camp's over.
So, Mr. Van Hooser, if you're following me on Twitter, your son looks pretty good.
But I think he has shown up. And I go back to the spring. He's not huge. He's only 6 feet, so it's not like, well, there's one tall receiver out there and he sticks out.
I'd like to be only 6 feet.
He's an average size.
Me too.
He's an average size receiver, right? But he shows up. He makes plays. He makes some plays.
He did.
He's pretty much every practice.
He's had a good.
He's not a standout star.
He's had a good week of camp.
For an undrafted guy who's well down the depth chart, he's finding a way to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have
a chance to make the practice squad?
Yeah,
sure.
Does he have a chance to ever play in a game?
No,
possibly.
Yeah, I think that's a much longer shot.
Well, but. Given the injury history and the depth at the position now, I would say it's possible that he gets a call-up at least.
Yeah, I feel like he could be one of those guys that somebody gets hurt and they sign somebody. Somebody gets hurt. He's like, hey, on the practice squad all year over
Austin
here.
Austin Colley.
That's possible.
Yeah, Austin Colley comes in and he's like, son of a, I was the white guy who's supposed to be out there.
Mike writes in, he wants to know.
No, he's white, Paul. I don't know any other way to describe
him
than white.
I don't know why.
And Austin Colley's white.
Because you said I'm the wide receiver on the practice squad.
Mike, right. I'm the white guy that's supposed to be out there.
Mike wants to know who's faster,
the right guy.
Josh Boyce or Matthew Slater?
Slater. I'm going Slater.
I don't know.
I think Boyce's speed is oversold.
I think Slater's is oversold.
Oh, Slater's fast.
Well, they're both
when
fast.
When this guy gets on the field.
both of those guys, they're both very fast. You're right, Fred.
So you think that...
I don't think that Slater is a standout fastest guy, you know, like Bethel Johnson. Bethel Johnson, to me, was billed as this speed demon, and you watch it.
But that's the Roy fastest
Finch
guy that's
me,
ever come through
I watch
here.
Roy Finch. I think he might be faster than both of those guys.
Jeff Demps?
Yeah.
I don't
World class!
I think Roy Finch is...
I guess he caught a touchdown in camp.
He's incredibly fast.
According to the reports.
I'm just glad he showed up and cares about football again.
Sebastian from Rhode Island.
For now.
Homer?
Until they
Doesn't
need
he
a
have film
seventh
to watch?
String... backup on the
Sebby writes
team.
In, I love PFW, right on the water you guys like do a great job, everyone from around
Beautiful.
The world, the latest Seahawks. News regarding our Patriots, but anyway, how do you feel about Julian Edelman wanting to still return punts? Gronk was injured in a special teams play after all. Is it really worth the
difference.
Risk of another freak injury?
Completely different circumstances.
Yeah, far freakier.
Yeah, I mean, worthless play on a position that's of
A non-competitive play.
Non-competitive
use the head coach
play
term.
That you can put anybody in that position. Basically, you can't just put anybody back to return a punt.
Why do I think
you can put almost anybody at the corner of the line to block on an extra point?
I could go on and on. Anybody could do it. Not anybody could do what Edelman does, and it's more important to have someone do it well. What Edelman does, number and to
yeah,
me,
but is he going
to
be captain fair catch?
And
does it again?
Remember the biggest who did it the last time?
A muff punt and a turnover can be a game changer.
Well,
the whole game can
to
pivot
me,
on
the,
that.
The overriding factor is the difference. If we lose Edelman as opposed to losing Gronkowski, I mean, come on, that's not even close.
Oh no, that's close. Was it NFL Network or ESPN that had the graphic? Who's more important to the Patriots offense, Gronkowski?
Yeah.
Just because they had it doesn't mean it's a relevant topic. I mean,
somebody thought it was relevant.
Besides, do you remember who used to return punts for this team on a regular basis?
Wes
Welker.
Yeah,
and Edelman's better at it.
Yeah,
but the difference is Welker never got hurt.
No,
and
but
this guy always does.
No, but there was the risk of putting one of your top receivers out there, and that's.
I mean, if we're going to have Revis covering kicks, we might as well have Edelman return it.
Well, I'm not in favor of that.
I would like to keep Edelman returning punts because I think he is special at it. I think that he is exceptionally good at returning punts. I know that last year in the second half of the season is productive. And if that happens again, maybe he was, worn down
gassed
a little bit.
Yeah.
And if that happens again, I would be in favor of making a change rather than have him, as Andy said, be fair catch guy.
The vice guys and the blocking up front was putrid, according to my sources.
Right.
Kelsey writes in, first-time emailer, I was wondering what you guys have seen out of the backup linebacker so far in training camp. Is depth at linebacker still as much a concern, or have you seen any positives that might have you believing otherwise?
It's a concern, but James Anderson, he can run. Dude can run. He can run with people. I've seen him run with Edelman. I've seen him run with Vereen. The whole cover linebacker thing that I've poo-pooed, we have a candidate.
Yeah, the depth at linebacker that's going to be an issue if they have serious injuries. Like last year, Mayo was out for the last 10 games.
They just got rid of Hull. All he did was have a nice pick.
Yeah, Hull's a pick.
Let's see. Steve writes in from Texas.
From Killeen?
Welcome
Steve
back to Killeen? The A-team of PFW.
Love him.
Steve from Killeen, right?
This is one of our favorite writers out of
I know this question will be better answered as the season unfolds, but I want to pose it for now. Who do you see as the Patriots' playmakers if we exclude Gronk and as players who can make plays? Basically, who do we know can consistently make the play, and who do you believe could flash to make the key clutch play? See last year third down conversions as a reference. Thanks for the outstanding work, Mr. Collins. Get back to me when a week of lunches will work again.
Wow. Jack Pat. Wow. Told you I love Steve and Killeen.
Big wow. Fan.
Who is a playmaker on the Patriots?
Is this just offense or defense?
He's looking
I
for
think
offense.
He meant offense.
Crickets.
Clutch playmaker.
I would say Vereen is capable of making plays.
I mean, he comes up clutch down the field. Those little
all right,
runs.
All right.
I trust Edelman with the ball
so
in his hands.
So negative all the time.
I think he can he's
but
someone
is he a playmaker. He was a clutch playmaker as a punt returner.
He was.
I agree. I think he's far better as a punt returner than he's ever been as a receiver in terms of being
dynamic.
A
yeah,
playmaker.
Yeah.
But just being a playmaker, just, making the play I need made. I got nobody. I get crickets.
Beyond Gronk, I don't have anybody in terms of playmaker that I would describe that way. But I think Edelman and Vereen are guys that you can rely on that
they're
will
reliable
make the play.
At least, yeah.
They might not be huge playmakers, but they'll make the play.
He's having a good camp, but
he's having a good camp, and he had a couple plays last year.
I think he's kind of trending the wrong way the last couple of days.
Oh, see, I just think he goes like he's the most inconsistent player you'll ever see.
Yeah,
but if we go on the short track record, I mean, he caught the one against the Saints. He had the triple catch against the Falcons.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata, is currently in Villefranche-sur-Mer. Do you know where that is?
I have heard of it, yes.
You've heard
so
of it.
So tell
yes.
us where it is. No, don't tell me you've heard of it. Tell us where it is.
In the south of France.
I don't know.
Maybe. Oh, we don't have the answer?
In the south of France.
Yeah, I'm not sure you're right.
Now that we don't have the answer.
Well, what does Surmer mean?
Now he's got big balls in south
there
of France.
Go. It must be then, right? Villefranche.
Villefranche-sur-Mer.
Villefranche-sur-Mer.
You sound like Chris Marlon Berman. Brando in the
I thought he sounded more like Chris Berman, like you gargled with lava.
Like Chris Villefranche-sur-Mer.
Vini, Vici.
Anyway, she says, football is so close, I can smell it.
No, that's the people next to you.
That's the one Trags likes, right?
Right.
What's that?
That's the one Trags likes, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Stork leaving practice is another reason to keep Connolly around.
Well, he's gone too.
Yeah. I can't even see Stork overtaking Wendell as a starting center. Keep hearing Minitron snagging catches out of the air. Gotta yes. love that. But who's the player that's impressed you most in camp? Also, I'm with Andy, much more intrigued to see what Browner will bring to the team than Revis. Already know what he'll bring. Au revoir from France.
Who's impressed the most?
Most impressive guy you've seen. I mean, for me, it's Revis, but that's really obvious.
Well, yeah. I mean, Edelman's up there for me.
Edelman has had a great camp.
Those are the two guys that have stuck out to me.
He's had a great camp.
I've said this before about guys, but it just seems to me like it's now coming easy to Edelman. Like, he's got to that phase in his football career where
he's not thinking.
It's coming naturally.
And he's confident.
Yeah.
I thought in the middle of last year at some point he just kind of crossed a bridge where he, you know, got over the Napoleon complex thing, got over the injuries, got over whatever else.
Like, he expects to go out and catch 8 passes every game.
Right. And I think there is that air about him, and that's good. That's very good. But he had that one today where he caught kind of sideways between his arm in the corner of the end zone.
Right.
And he was getting raped by Kyle Arrington.
And even the guys on the team were like, wow, great.
Yeah, it was a great catch.
Did you see the one he made going away from us? Deep. It was like a deep crossing route, almost like the one in Denver that Brady overshot him. Only it was better coverage. It was a great ball by Brady, but right on the sideline, he just caught it effortlessly. Mm-hmm. Right on the sideline, caught it, got his 2 feet down, went out of bounds. And I agree with you, just that the way he moves, he's moving like a player that he knows he's going to make plays. He's confident. I'm going to catch it. He's going to throw it to me, and I'm going to catch it.
Right.
That's what it looks like. Yep. From afar. Yep. I agree. He's had a great camp.
Fred, I brought this up to you in the tent, but the rest of you, did you notice that Burt Breer is sort of bringing the Alex Guerrero name that we always like to throw out there?
I was just going to read that email. That's funny.
Oh, I didn't know. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'll read it. And Patrick from
J-E-11.
Patrick from Pudica, Kentucky. Saw a tweet from Mike Reese saying that Hooman limped off the field.
Is that Paducah?
Before the rain on Sunday and had missed practice today. Wonder if we end up bringing in another tight end.
Oh, really?
However, I'm not going to hold my breath. Also saw a tweet from somebody, Burt Breer maybe, saying that Amendola had been working with Brady's trainer, Alex Guerrero, who had helped Edelman overcome his injury problems last year. It made me a little excited envisioning a healthy Amendola for the year. Then I realized the chances of that are about as good as me discovering Atlantis or Eric finding a girlfriend. Now, that's not nice. I guess
Atlantis is right there.
I guess the question is that do you guys have any supplemental info?
Atlantis once existed.
Any supplemental info on this Guerrero guy, or have any thoughts on how a trainer might minimize risk of injury other than being in shape, inherently lessening that risk?
A lot of flexibility, a lot of strengthening through bands and not the traditional weight training exercises, Pilates, that kind of crap.
Yeah.
Now, I do think it's a little
it gets down to
rosy-eyed to say, Edelman was healthy last year, so this works. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure the guy knows what he's doing and does a good job with
Absolutely.
What he's doing.
If Amendola catches the ball and falls square in his clavicle, he may not be able to avoid an injury. It's
right.
Just, it's one of those things.
Now, there may be something to he was too tightly wound. Mussy blows a
groin. And I know that's been a lot. Our buddy Tom Curran wrote something about that a couple
he's
of months
buddy.
Ago. I'm trying to be a little bit more accepting of everybody now.
Oh, okay.
Try not to be so judgmental.
What happened here?
I don't know.
Oh.
But our buddy Tom Curran wrote about that a couple of months ago, about how he was maybe a little bit too tight, and some of the stuff that he's worked with Guerrero maybe has helped him in that regard. But I do think, like Andy said, doesn't it kind of come down to fortune? I
mean, a lot of times, yeah.
I understand that you can do all the things that you can do to be in the best shape that you can be and be more flexible or more, for lack of a better term, rubbery. I always thought Welker was rubbery. Yeah. Teddy Bruschi was kind of rubbery,
right.
And they didn't train with him, I don't think.
So I don't know what you can do necessarily to
avoid
injuries beyond
that. Well, you
can do more, not
get muscle
beyond
bound. Not be, yeah, and we should mention that he is also the main guy, trainer, whatever, at the TB12 Physical Therapy Center or Sports Training, whatever it's called up here at Patriot Place.
Right.
He's a big part of the TB12 method.
Right. Pat in Agawam. Took in my first training camp Saturday, brought my daughter. We had a blast and got Shane Vereen's autograph.
Nice.
All in all, a pretty great time. Based off what I absorbed, I had a question for you all. Do you think the first few weeks of the season, maybe the first 4 to 6 games, we see Gronk play only 70% of the offensive snaps, mostly passing downs, and gradually work him back in for most of all the offensive snaps toward the middle of the year, or does Belichick throw him to the Wolves right away starting in Miami? I know at the start of camp, Belichick said he was completely cleared, but I had noticed on Saturday he was taking part in a lot of the drills, especially the contact. He wasn't. I think he wasn't, he meant. Especially the contact drills. Also, how has he looked running, in your opinion? Since you guys see every practice every year, I'll trust your info over what I took from only one day. How has he looked running?
I still think he has a slight little bit of a limp. Very slight. But he's running full speed, running hard when he does do his pass routes with Brady throwing in passes. So.
Yeah, cutting and exploding.
I mean, he's doing things, but I still – and he said himself the other day he's not 100%.
Yeah.
You know what's not 100%? The show.
Pat.
Apparently we haven't been on the internet for some 30 minutes.
Oh. Well, they'll get it on the replay, I guess. Really? What's going on?
No, I saw Chris come in, so I don't know.
Are we on the
He's pointing for you to read something.
Oh,
or...
having issues with mirror image. Chris is on it. Okay.
So it'll be fixed.
On a lighter note, says Pat, did you see the Giants brass wants Eli to complete 70% of his passes this year?
I did see that.
In a related story,
about 100?
I heard the Crafts want Belichick to be completely transparent with the media from now on. And I heard Fred mention something about giving you all raises when he was hosting with Brian Morey. Good luck with that.
Do they count the 30 he completes to the other team?
Yeah, I know that there's sarcasm with that. I don't think that's a good move for Eli Manning. I don't think that he's that kind of they want him to.
Do they have a new offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Who?
Ben McAdoo, I believe his name is.
Where's he from?
I don't know. They want him to throw a lot of short stuff. Want him checking down a lot. They want him, the guys that complete 70% of the passes, that's why. Like Peyton Manning last year, a lot of quick stuff out, check downs, Drew Brees. I think Eli Manning's strength is his ability to get the ball downfield. Now, when it goes bad like it did last year, and he's throwing a lot of picks. I don't think that Eli Manning's the type of quarterback that's going to be as effective as somebody else might be throwing the ball underneath. I think that's a terrible decision by the Giants. I agree with the email, even though that's not necessarily what he was talking about.
This is funny. Somebody was searching for Paul Perillo.
Oh, geez.
And besides your name, the second thing that came up was Paul Perillo out of breath. That was probably from last year.
Yes.
So many people tweeted that or looked that up and... So that's funny.
It's funny because he's fat.
I wasn't out of breath because I was fat.
No, pretty much anybody who ran up those stairs would be out of breath.
Anybody that had a run is fast and under as much, quote-unquote, duress.
I can't guarantee, like, Usain Bolt would have
been. No, I'm not saying that you would have been out of his breath as long as I was. But when you got on TV, you wouldn't have been able to talk.
Mary Beth writes in, she wants to know, can you buy tickets to the practice on Friday night? I'd like to take my granddaughter. It would be her first trip inside the stadium. I do not want to drive from Syracuse and not be able to get into the practice. Please advise. Well, here's a little tip. Ty Law is going to be inducted on Friday.
He's going to do it again.
And if you come to see that, which is free to everyone, if you come to see that, they will not keep you from going to see the practice. So...
from Syracuse.
Fingers crossed.
You will be able to get on.
If not, from Syracuse.
Emails somebody and we'll get you tickets.
good move by you.
No, because we have
email for somebody.
What?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Fred will make sure you get in.
Bill in South Dakota or San Diego. I was very excited yesterday when the Patriots claimed T-Gaff. I went to high school with him.
Oh, nice.
And he should be excited.
Absolutely.
And he dominated in his four years.
And you're
there.
Also allowed to call him T-Gaff now that you know him.
Including a state title his senior year. He also dominated Stanford during his only year as the starter. I can't wait to see him on the field next year. The team is getting a smart kid who will be fighting for the starting job next year, and I wouldn't be surprised if he wins it fairly easily. Thanks for everything you guys do. I listen to every show despite not emailing or calling regularly. Thanks, Bill.
Now, he's a baseball player, too, right?
He played some baseball, yeah.
So is he a little older?
I don't know how old he is, but he did play some baseball. I think that's why he only got 1 year. Like, he was the guy at Stanford.
Well, that's why I was also kind of wondering if he was 20-whatever.
Okay.
Like, maybe he played four seasons of minor league baseball, and he's, like, 25.
Pretty sure he's 20-whatever.
Got it.
Good point. How you,
Paul? Does he wear a Don Joy? No, I don't know if he played minor league.
You're about to wear a Brooks straight up your candy.
I only know that he has a baseball background. I don't know
Randy
exactly.
Candy ass. Mike in D.C. will end with this one. At this point, with 90 games at guys at camp, when they get down to 53, what does the average Jag go, or where does he go, and what does he do after getting cut? Can you guys detail what the life of a camp body is after camp is over?
Well, some of them will be here. What does Bill always say, the 65 or whatever? You know,
more like 65.
This is really your team for the year, and they're going to be with your organization.
They call it
in
like the
fashion.
Hidden roster.
And all the guys that get cut in the last cut are guys that they'll play in the league.
But other guys go work at a gym or something and hope to
or work out.
Kind of
yeah,
serious.
They work out. They stay in football shape.
Do mine
in case they get a call.
Car wash.
No, a lot of them, you know, they'll do something like that, and so they're around gyms and work out and hope. And
in general, these guys will go. They'll take two. A lot of these guys will take 2 years. If they don't hook on this year, they'll probably keep at it.
Mm-hmm.
Get invited to a camp next year, and then if they don't hook on with a practice squad,
then there's always the AFL and Canada.
Yeah.
And
but as a rule, Mike. You know, guys, teams have 53, but there's probably like another 7 guys that they're kind of.
Well, you have 8 on your practice squad.
Yeah,
so that's 61.
Right, 61. Right.
And then there's another handful. So you're probably the 65, you like most of those guys.
Right.
So they're going to be there. Plus, you're probably going to pluck a couple from other teams.
It's like a shadow roster that you have, you know.
And as always, there's going to be on the 53, there's going to be somebody who hasn't played a single snap all preseason for this team.
Correct.
It's somebody they'll acquire either off a cut or a trade or something. There'll be somebody on the 53.
Rob Hausler.
Who you've never heard of before, or you maybe have heard of before, but he hasn't played here.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Most people, if not all, haven't heard this part. But hopefully you're listening to us on replay, and we'll see you on Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.